Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Devin Feely with an update on today's storm. Both southbound and northbound lanes of Highway 101 are closed in South San Francisco due to major flooding that is estimated to reopen around 5 o'clock, according to the CHP. Drivers can take Highway 280 as an alternate in the meantime. Bad news for people hoping to visit national parks this weekend. Golden Gate Recreational Area has closed a number of sites today due to the storm. Both Alcatraz Island and Fort Point National Historic Site are also closed due to flooding. Park officials say they are responding to downed trees at many of their Marin County sites. Officials are asking people to avoid the parks and stay home. No word yet on what this means for New Year's swim to Alcatraz. San Mateo County says they have run out of sandbags at their distribution site. San Mateo police are asking people to stay off the roads and stay home during the storm. Police say that if you must drive, never go through standing water. To Santa Cruz County, where evacuation orders have been issued for Felton Grove and Paradise Park due to potential flooding. If you're in that area, it's advised to move to higher ground for safety. Highway 1 near Big Sur is closed again due to a rock slide. The highway had just reopened about 3 weeks ago following another slide in the area. Caltrans is working to clear the highway, but there is no estimate on when it will reopen. Officials are also warning of a sinkhole on Glen Haven Road. Take a look at this. There are currently more than a dozen roads closed in Santa Cruz County due to downed power lines or flooding.
The darkest hour that man has ever known is just ahead. Like a train that's traveling, and you see a tunnel, and you know the train is going to ride through the tunnel. And you know, for the length of the tunnel, it gets dark. So dark you cannot see. But you're okay because you know you're on a train and that train's coming out of that tunnel. Hear me, says the Lord. Hear me, says the Lord. You are on a journey and you are swiftly approaching a tunnel of the greatest darkness you have ever known. It's going to get dark. Darker than you've ever known it to be. You won't be able to see. You won't know what's going on. You won't know what tomorrow holds. You won't even know if you're going to make it through the day. My judgments are being poured out. The darkest hour is soon to come. That hour will be tragic. Tragic for many. For many who are lost will not find their way. And they will wake up in an eternity of flame and torment because they have rejected me one day too late. Many today burn in hell who had great ambitions, who had great intentions. But they let the enemy convince them they had more time. Hear me, says the Lord. Some of you have no more time. Today is your day. As Jesus told Peter, the cock will crow three times, and you will deny me. Some of you will cease to see the light of day before the rooster crows again. For some, it is morning. But for many, it will be their night. and the light will go out, never to return, saith the Lord. Because I love you, I tell you again, come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me, saith the Lord. Confess your sins and repent, and I will save you, and I will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you will spend eternity with me. But some of you reject me one more day, and you will go where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth for all eternity. You will reject me no more, saith the Lord. It's time. It's time to settle the accounts of people before me, saith the Lord.
There's a peace I've come to know.
Right.
Though my heart and flesh may...
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Can you hear me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I hope everyone can hear me fine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I apologize. Thank you, brother. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I think now we have enough time. Hallelujah. For some reason, I made a mistake in the schedule, and it was two scheduled together. But amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Everything worked for the best of those of the love of the Lord. So, hallelujah. We're not going to, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, sister. Amen. So I wanted to go out of Daniel 7, Genesis 31, 20, Ezekiel 38. And there's a few verses I wanted to talk about, my brother and sister, and the reason being, amen, hallelujah, the overflowing. I went into the word about this overflowing of water. And since I got a revelation for it, I wanted to make sure it's biblical because everything has to be according to the word. So Psalm 124:4 says, then the flood water should have swept us away. Overflowing stream would have washed us away, David said, my brother and sister. So I believe this is under disobedience, a nation under disobedience. Well, definitely, David said, we'll go through this, my brother and sister. And then Jeremiah 47:2, this is what the Lord said, water is rising in the north. And look how it points to the north, and it will become overflowing river, and it will overflow the land of everything in it. And the city of those who live in them, people will cry out. And everyone who lives in the land will cry loudly. When I saw this in Jeremiah, my brother and sisters, hallelujah, because Jeremiah prophesied of the king from the north coming into the land, King Nebuchadnezzar, coming over the land and taking over. And we know that the Russians, excuse me, the Chaldeans are all the same from the land of Babylon. And they caused this problem. They caused this, and now, my brother and sister, because in my dream from Saturday to Sunday, what I was dreaming, what I was seeing that from in the spirit, I was over California, and what a coincidence that I was over California, and the Lord was speaking to me over California, and I can see this weapon, the Russians, they were pointing this weapon to California. It was flashing like a light from Russia over California, my brother and sister. And of course, it's connected with the satellite because I was trying to determine how can they point this weapon and it would cause the ground to become weak, and it was causing the river to overflow, my brother and sister. And one thing they were trying to do was the Russian was trying to point this weapon over us, God's people. And I saw the hand of the Lord as they were trying to point this weapon over God's people. The Lord says, I have allowed you to do this over the land, hallelujah, but I will not allow you to do this over my people, my children. My children I protect. And I saw the hand of the Lord protecting us. The Lord was speaking to the Russians. He says, I have allowed you to do this to the land over California, but I will not allow you to do this over my children, my brothers and sisters. So we, God's people, amen, that are under the blood of Jesus, Yeshua, we are protected. I saw the hand of the Lord protecting us from this weapon that rushing us, my brothers and sisters. I don't know how they can try to harm us or how they can harm us in a way, but they were harming the land. They were harming, as they were pointing the weapon over the rivers, the river were overflowing, my brothers and sisters. It was so incredible. So incredible, my brother and sister. And you all know that for, what, over 2 weeks now, I've been trying to talk about all these things from Russia that, you know, I wanted to pray about it. I didn't feel like I should have, my brother and sister. And the thing is that there was a report made by NATO general, my brother and sister, a week ago or 2 weeks ago. It was a report made that was leaked out. And in this report, according to Indians online, the Indian channel reported this. And there were two information they reported. They have the Indians country, the Indian, or India, they've been friends with Ukraine for many years. They've been doing business with Ukraine for many years. I actually had a brother, Ben, listen to a general from India talking about Ukraine. He has more information than practically anyone over here, because they're framed with the Ukrainians, and of course they also have their connection with the United States. So what he was reporting was is that NATO had their intelligence do an assessment on Russia, in the report that was leaked. And in this assessment that NATO did on Russia, what they did is they tested two of Russia's bases last week. And what they did is they used United States and NATO best drones, my brother and sister. And these drones, the technology that they have, Russia were not supposed to knock these drones down, because these are the best. These are stealth technology that practically only the United States and NATO had. And so what they did is They send an attack to one of the Russians' base, and the missile program the Russian has, my brother and sister, the basic missile that they have, not the mid-range or the high-performing missile, the high-range missile, let's say the cheapest missile they have, they were able to knock down this drone without any problem. Actually, one of the drones, after it was knocked down, hit one of the Russian planes, which it came out on the news, and it was saying that they were able to hit one of the Russian base, one of the plane. It was on the news and all that, but they didn't tell the whole story. They only tell the part with it hit one of the plane. It did hit one of the plane, but it was after the drone knocked down, after the missile knocked down the drone with very easiness. My brother insisted. So in this report, they did another test in another base, NATO with the intelligence of the United States and Ukraine, and they send four more drones to attack another base, and the missile program the defense missile program that Russia had were able to get to knock down these other drones, the best they have. And so in the report, the general came together in agreement and said, because of Russia's well-advanced missile program, they wrote this letter to Biden administration and said, because of Russia's well-advanced missile program, we have tested it, we have made an assessment, and we have concluded that the missile program is so advanced that we won't be able to win this war. This war with Russia and Ukraine is not winnable. Ukraine cannot win. We cannot win against Russia. And we suggest that we wait 10 to 20 years and develop our own missile program, the same or more advanced in Russia, and then go back and claim the land that Russia had claimed from Ukraine. We can try again in 10 to 20 years, what the report says. And they send it to Biden. Biden got a copy. But it believed that the Russian was able to hack this communication, and they got a copy of the report, and this is how other nations got a copy of this report. It was leaked. The report was leaked. So they were very much for Biden advice, the general of NATO, because they had 140,000+ soldiers in Portland. So what they did is they pull out 100,000 soldiers. They only had left like 43,000. NATO didn't. They said they're not going to continue. But after Biden spoke with them, he said, we will continue supporting them with weapons as Ukraine claiming and wants it. But we have concluded that we cannot win, the United States cannot win this war in Ukraine against Russia, is what the general says, for the tests that they performed, the assessment that their intelligence community have made, my brother and sister. So now their information coming out that is proven that this report was accurate. Russia was able to go into Ukraine, and the best four, United States and NATO, has been supplying weapons to two bases that they had established in Ukraine. These bases had the most advanced weapons for United States and NATO, and now it came out, which Brother Ben Danung is going to talk about this. Russia went in and blew them away easily, having still the United States' best defense missile protecting these bases in NATO best defense missile program, defending this missile, these bases. Russia's missile went in, the Lagrange missile went in and blew up these bases, destroyed all the planes, the tanks, all the weapons they had in there. And this has been a major loss. Brother Ben Danung is going to talk about this, my brother and sister. So that report that was leaked, that was read in the Indian military channel, it looks like it's true. It's hard to say. Now, part of the report is this. NATO had lost in Ukraine over 24,000 military personnel. Ukraine, between citizens and soldiers, had lost already over 300,000 of them. Between the citizens and military personnel, Ukraine had lost over 300,000 of them. United States had lost over 3,000. And Russia had only lost, when the report went out, 2,100 soldiers. United States has lost more soldiers in Ukraine than Russia that are fighting with Ukraine. My brother, this is why the Russians are celebrating on the other side. And this is the part that a lot of people are missing, because they're getting misinformation here in the United States, CNN, NBC, and all these channels. So they're not getting the truth. Okay? My brother and sister, this is sad, but this, you know, I'm like, but now that I see, as I was listening to Brother Ben Danung, watching what's going on, the truth is starting to come out. I've been holding back to saying this on the Lord Tower for a week, because I felt like it's not about fear. But what the Lord has shown me from heaven one time about Russia, what Russia has hidden, all their weapons and all that. Right now, NATO and the United States, as a general from NATO said, this war is not winnable. We cannot win. Russia missed the program. But what Biden suggested is to find the weakness of Russia to try to bring them down, is what they're trying. But now losing this two base with everything they put in there, it is, my brother and sister. Now, as I go back into the Word of God, and I look at the destruction of God, a Gog and its army, I want to read to you, I want to show you by the word what the God says about Russia, my brother and sister, in the book of Ezekiel. Every time we talk about these things, we need to go into the word of God, okay? And we have to see what God says, because God is the truth. And this is why I've been hesitant, holding back from speaking out the information I found online, because I have to go into God's word and see what God's word says first. And so everything has to line up with the word, my brother and sister. It has to line up. Ezekiel 38, hallelujah, 10. And this is what the Almighty Lord says. And I'm reading from the God's word. I believe this is going to bring light into this. And I can read from the either King James or either Bible, my brother and sister.
But this brings light into this verse 10. This is what the Almighty said. At that time, listen to this. What time? Time at the end. It's talking about time of the end. Okay? And again, if we go into the King James, that's what we're going to get. Okay? This is what the Almighty Lord says. At that time, idea will enter your head, and you will make wicked plan. Okay? These are wicked plans. Why are they wicked plans? Because their plan is to destroy humans, humanity. They are able and they are capable to do so. Russia has spent 50 years developing the missile program, while United States has been busy in politics, in NATO busy, in other things. Russia has been developing the missile program. And now they find out that they're like 20 years ahead of NATO and United States. My brother insisted. And so, wow. But the confirmation is that they've been planning this wicked plan, according to what the Lord says to Ezekiel. This has been a wicked plan for the last days. My brother and sister, you will say, I'll attack the land with unveiled village. I will attack peaceful people who live safely. And all of them live without wall, locks, or gate. I will come to rob them and loot them. I will use my power against the ruin of the people that are living in it again. Okay, now this is the time, and you see that this is for the Great Tribulation. During the Great Tribulation, Russia and China plans to come against Israel. Because now Israel is not protected by the United States anymore. United States is no more by the time they decide to attack Israel. They have taken over the world. Nothing is protecting Israel anymore. In order for them to come and say, okay, and God is telling us what their plan in their mind will be when they say we're going to go attack Israel. What position will they have? And you see how strong they are. It's like they didn't even lose practically lives. You know that it was funny because when Russia had all those tanks going into Ukraine, United States, NATO, that were supporting Ukraine, they said, well, Ukraine can knock down a lot of these tanks easy and all of that. Then they find out, the Ukrainian, after destroying many of the Russian tanks, that those tanks will be in remote control. None of them expected. They expected soldiers to be in those tanks. There was like one soldier per 100 tank or two soldiers. The rest of the tank was being remote control. That's why they had it so secure where they had no. They think that they would destroy thousands of soldiers in those tanks. Then they find out after it was leaked when the Ukrainian soldier went to see one of the tanks that they had destroyed of the Russians. And they went in and they saw it was being controlled. It was remote control. You know, they were deceived. The Russians deceived them. And practically deceived the world because NATO and the United States thought, well, we're winning this so easy against Russia. Russia's using these old tanks that were so easy able to destroy. They cannot win this war. And for a whole year, practically, they were deceiving the nations. Now they find out we've been deceived. My brothers, my sisters, it's just so incredible how things are coming to pass. But now information are being leaked, and now they are finding out that's crushing the head. Now, what are we going to do? We have these two bases in which we can attack Russia in many ways. Now they have destroyed our stronghold. They're starting over again. My brother and sister, oh, Lord, but God knows everything. Okay? So, they will be thinking, God says, I will come to rob them and loot them. Notice that, what did we say that, what did the God been saying through his prophet when Russia will invade the United States? What will be on their mind when they invade this land? To rob them and to loot them, to take their gold, silver, diamonds, okay? They come to steal whatever this nation has. But see, it's over by United States here is no more when this plan is being planned. They're going after Israel. The riches that Israel have, they're coming to steal their riches. You see that their mentality don't change. The Chaldeans, the Russians, these people mentality don't change. The same thing they do to this nation and many other nations, they're going to go do to Israel finally. They're going to, Israel will be left for last. There will be no plan for now to attack Israel. Israel will be the last nation they're going to attack. Russia and China together and other nations. My brother insisted. And what's in their mind, God says, they say, I will come to rob them and loot them. I will use my power against the ruin. What power? The military power. Their missile program, which is considered their power. Okay? To ruin the people living in again. Because if they're able to destroy their buildings, their planes, their bases, my brother and sister, if they're able to harm Israel and all these key points, it's going to ruin Israel as a nation. But God already knows what's in their mind, what's in their heart. Before they even perform their action, the Lord already knows what they're thinking, what they're planning, what they want to do. My brother and sister, hallelujah. I will use it against the people who are gathered from the nations. They're very aware whom the Jewish people are in the nation that they, because many have come even out of Russia and many other countries. They're fully aware of all this, okay? People are not going to surprise them with what has happened in history, what God has done among the nations. These people have cattle and property, and they live in the world. So, yeah, they have property. They have become very wealthy. The Jewish people have become very wealthy. The Russians want this wealth for themselves because they're coming to take that away from them. My brother, my sister. Wow, so much is coming. And then it tells you, verse 13, Sheba, the Nam, Ashan, the Tarshi, on the village, will ask you, do you come to rout these people for their position, the U.S. Army, all these soldiers to carry away large amounts of silver and gold and take the cattle and property. Okay? These nations are Arabs. So somehow, these sons and daughters of Ishmael, not of Isaac, the Jewish people are the sons and daughters of Isaac. These sons of Ishmael began to think, You know, as much as they hate the Jewish people now and they want to remove them and make Jerusalem Palestine, as they said in Iran, in Iran television. Sometime I used to go online and listen to the Iranian news and what these leaders from Iran are saying in regard to Israel. And they clearly, they have an agenda. It's all written on paper, very clear. They want to take over Israel and turn the whole land of Israel into Palestine. Palestine is a capital that they hope to have, and they say they must be in the land of Israel. They must conquer Israel in order to have a Palestine unto themselves. My brother, it's been their dream, okay? But now when these nations go and comes to rob Israel, Sheba, Dedan, the merchants for Tarshish, these Arab nations begin to ask themselves, do you come to rob these people of their possession? Do you assemble all these soldiers to carry them away, large amount of silver and gold, to take Adam's property? It's like a question. And so what God is saying to you and I is, look, everyone will see when Russia and China and all these countries come to attack Israel. It will be on the news. You know, everyone will see it on television. People are going to know about it. It will be radio. It will be, you know, the information is going to go out. Everyone will know. My brother and sister. But their thinking is, wow, Israel is such a small nation. It will be easy for them to overcome Israel. But they are forgetting about Israel, God, the Almighty God. My brother and sister. I want to read to you, hallelujah, about Israel, God. My brother and sister, in Joel 28, 12 to 28 says, wisdom is inaccessible to decay and death. Joel says, where can wisdom be found? Where does the understanding live? No mortal know where it is. It cannot be found in the world of the living. The deep ocean says it is not, it's not in me. The sea says it isn't with me. You cannot obtain it with solid gold or buy it with any amount of silver. It can be bought with gold or offer or precious onyx of sapphire. Neither gold nor glass can equal a value. Nor can gold, ornaments, jewel, or crystal be exchanged for it. Wisdom is more valuable than gems. Topaz, Ethiopia cannot equal a value. It cannot be found for the amount of pure gold. Where does wisdom come from? Where does that understanding live? Hidden from the eyes of every living being. Hidden from, from the bird of the air, decay and death says. Where have we heard rumors about it? But now, here comes the word of God about wisdom. Wisdom is accessible only to the Creator. God understands the way to it. He knows where it lives because he can see to the end of the earth and observe everything under the heaven. When he gave the wind its force and measured the water in the sea, when he made the ruler for the rain, he set path for the thunderstorm. He sat on it and announced it. He confirmed and examined it. He told humans, the fear of the Lord is wisdom. To stay away from evil is understanding. Oh, Lord, help us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The fear of the Lord, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. At this time, Israel is back to the fear of the Lord. It's back to wisdom. And this is when God called us, when God called us to repenting, God is calling us back to him, my brother and sister. God is calling us back to his fear. God is calling us back to his wisdom, my brother and sister. That's why the Bible said, if anyone lack wisdom, ask of God, and he will give you freely, my brother and sister. A lot of people don't understand end time prophecy, don't understand what Ezekiel said, what Jeremiah, what Isaiah said. Simple. Pray for wisdom. Pray for understanding. And God would reveal you understanding and wisdom when you look into prophecy. It's looking into time, into months, into years. My brother insisted. And when you look into them through wisdom, through understanding, you can see these things. And it's just hard to point the day and hour. My brother and sister, the Lord showed me last week that his church very soon is going to be in heaven. And showed me that I will be with his church in heaven. We will be together as one body in Christ. My brother and sister, that this life is practically passed away. As he said in his word, that the old shall pass away. My brother insisted. And I said that this life, when it passes away, it will not even come to mind. So this life is passing, Paul says to the churches. And it's passing quickly. Hallelujah. We need to come to the fear of the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord is wisdom. We need to humble ourselves and cry out to God every day and say, Lord, help us to serve you. Lord, help us to be holy and righteous. I repent of all evil, of all wickedness, of all lies, of all false teaching, Lord. In your name, Jesus. I struggle when I talk about the news and report or leak report. This is hard for me to talk about these things because in a lot of it, there can be lies. And I could be repeating lies or someone else lie. I don't know. My brother and my sister. But this, I waited for almost a couple of weeks now. I'm putting this news out today in this Bible study. And now they are. I can see the signs of truth coming according to this report that NATO sent to the Biden administration. My brother insisted that although they keep it hidden, my brother insisted there's nothing hidden that will not come out to light. For over 20 years now, They're having so many leaks in the government. And they get so angry, and they're like, ah, how can this information be now and all that? And we hear from government after government, Trump, Obama, Bush, all of them have leaks coming out of the government. They're so angry, and they're like, why, how did this come out and all that? There is nothing hidden that will not come out to light. They've been keeping this stuff hidden, my brother and sister, but God is making sure it comes out to light. Because there's too much lie coming out of the government. And the truth cannot be held back. It must come forward. What the Word of God says it is, my brother insisted. And it will be fulfilled. I want to show you this in Genesis. Remember I shared with you last week that Genesis, when we read about Genesis, hallelujah, because as it was, it is, and what it was, will be. Solomon says, I read to you last Sunday. I want to show you something in Genesis 31:20. Here is Jacob's trouble, or part of Jacob's trouble, which is the Great Tribulation. Listen to this Jacob's trouble. I already told you that Russia and China are going to attack Jacob, the children of Jacob. But I want to show you that Jacob is not asleep, my brother and sister. Listen to this. Genesis 31:20, Jacob also tricked Laban. Remember that Laban is a type of the devil. It's a type of the world, my brother and sister. And Laban thinks that he has everything under his control, that he's going to destroy Israel no matter what. But Laban, Satan, the world has forgotten who God is, my brother and sister, who the Almighty is. Okay? Listen to this. So Jacob also tricked Laban, the Aramean, by not telling him he was leaving. Hallelujah. This leaving, this going to where God was leading him to was important to Jacob. My brother insisted. Jacob, hallelujah, was trying to live, establish himself as a nation. Jacob was establishing his kingdom, his family, everything he needed. He will have to have a home city, his own people, everything. And he's leaving there because God told him that he will lead him to the promised land, my brother and sister, because he's looking forward to being obedient. But Laban was so wicked and evil that Jacob has to come up with a plan. In the last days, Israel is coming out with a plan that the nations have no idea the plan they're coming up. And God's giving them the plan and the direction and the guidance. My brother and sister. So Jacob also tricked Laban, the Aramean, by not telling him he was leaving. So he left in a hurry with all that belongs to him. He crossed the Euphrates River and went toward the mountain of Gilead. My brother and sister. The Euphrates River has been the river that had plenty of water, has been big and wide enough, in one of the most dangerous rivers to cross. Anyone knew thousands of years ago that if you try to cross the Euphrates River on horses, and even by boat would have been dangerous. Many lost their lives there. My brother insisted. I saw a video on YouTube the other day about the Euphrates River. We know that the Euphrates River is drying up almost completely. It's prophetic. It's one of the last day prophecy that many people have been looking forward to. That 20 year looked crazy for this to be happening because it was still, it has plenty of water. The mug in this river is so dangerous that if the water comes down like happens to many people, this river, according to the Yara, had a mystery that if it was drying up years ago and you try to cross it on horse, okay, the leg of your horse will go deep into the mud, my brother and sister, and then the river will surprise you and kill you. Plenty of water will come, my brother and sister, and kill you. It was the most dangerous river to cross. But God said that in the last days, this army, the Chinese army, will cross the Euphrates River to come and attack Israel. It's an old prophecy, and people have been looking to seeing this happen. And now it has happened, it's drying up, my brother and sister, unexplainable. Because prophecy is unexplainable. You can't physically explain prophecy. And that's what many people have tried to do over the year with their earthly mind, with their earthly thinking, with their high school, college, university study degree. They think that they can explain prophecy, and it's not possible. Prophecy comes from God. Jesus is the foundation of every prophecy, and he has to reveal his word to us, my brother and sister, because prophecy is founded in Jesus, and is founded in the time of God. And no one knows the mind of God, so no one knows the time of God. It's when God says so, my brother and sister. Prophecy is like the day of the rapture. We know it's close. We know it's about to happen, but no one knows the day or hour, Jesus says. Not the angel, not the son, no man knows the hour, but only the Father. That's what prophecy is. So how can people say, you know, I'm going to, no, God has to reveal it to us, my brother and sister. So here is, hallelujah, Jacob. Notice how Jacob is allowed to cross the Euphrates River. Hallelujah. And went to the mountain of Gilead, because we can say back then there was no bridge, no bridge. Notice how God was with his men in such a special way, my brother and sister, that he can come and go. Hallelujah. 2 days later, Laban was told that Jacob had left in a hurry. He went and his relative and pursued Jacob for 7 days. Jacob traveled for 7 years. Notice how 7 days mean fulfillment. God is going to fulfill his will in Jacob for 7 years. My brothers and sisters, Jacob's trouble is the day of the Lord, because seven is fulfillment. Seven is when the Lord fulfills his word. Jacob's trouble is the day of the Lord, the day of vengeance of the Lord. It's when the Lord takes vengeance upon his enemy. Right now, Satan, all his demons, all the fallen Nephilims are afraid and wants to be released completely, because they know they only have about 7 years. Jacob trapped for 7 years. Laban had trapped for Jacob 7 years for Leah, 7 years for Rachel. But in the 6 years, last of Jacob, the angel of the Lord now, Jesus, comes to help Jacob and began to prosper Jacob in those six last years. Because that's when Messiah returns, my brother and sister. Messiah returns in 6. When you go into Genesis 6, 6 prophecy, he get on his horse, a white horse, to conquer, my brother and sister. And so Jacob has to have help from Jesus. Jacob has to have help from Messiah. That's what happened in the life of Jacob. The angel of the Lord came in those 6 years and prosper Jacob, telling him what to do in order for him to grow and have animal, have sheep, how to multiply the sheep. And you can see Laban cheating Jacob. But the angel of the Lord will tell him this way, that way. And Jacob was prospered by God. Jesus is Jacob's prosperity, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. So he and his relative pursued Jacob for 7 days. Laban caught up with him in the mountain of Gilead. Hallelujah. See where the army of the world caught up with Jacob in the mountain of Gilead. My brother and sister. Jacob, Laban here is a type of the world. It's a type of Russia and China and other countries that are going to come to the mountain to attack Israel in the last days. My brother and sister, in Jacob's trouble. In this mountain of Gilead, God came to Laban, the Aramean, in a dream by night and said unto him, be careful not to say anything at all to Jacob. Hallelujah. God, as I saw the Lord speaking to the Russians, I allow you to attack the land in California, but not my people. I protect my children. I saw the land of the Lord protecting us, my brother and sister, because they have weapons unknown to this nation. And they can harm people ways people cannot imagine, my brother and sister. But the Lord says, no, not mine. I'll protect mine. Thank you, Lord. He's so good. So he said to him in a dream, hallelujah. A lot of people think that only Christians people get dreams. He is this idolater. Pharaoh was an idolater. Laban was an idolater. And God still speaks with them. as I saw the Lord speaking with the Russians, in case you were wondering. Hallelujah. And so verse 25, so when Laban finally caught up with Jacob, Jacob had put up his tent in the mountain. So Laban and his relatives, they put up the tent in the mountain of Gilead. Then Laban asked Jacob, what have you done by tricking me? Notice how God's enemy, even though God has spoken with Laban not to say anything at all to Jacob. Did Laban hold his tongue? No. He still went and said something to Jacob. That's why God's enemies are condemned and thrown into hell in the lake of fire because of their evil and their disobedience. My brother and sister, God is showing us here. He says to Laban, don't say anything at all to Jacob. Don't say it. The nation threatening Jacob right now sees. And they're not supposed to say anything at all. We need to be careful not to say anything at all against the Jewish people, neither. My brother and sister, God says to this wicked man who represents all the nations, don't say anything at all to my nation Israel. Anything. I don't care what you have to say. I don't care what you want to say. Don't say anything at all to the nation of Israel. I hear people going on and speaking against the nation of Israel like, oh, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. We got word. Everything is in God's word. My brother, my sister, again, Genesis 31:24, God came to Laban the Aramean in a dream at 9 and said to him, look at the word of the Almighty. Be careful to say anything at all to Jacob. Be careful to say anything at all. And that's when people say, who do you think these people are that I cannot say anything at all? God is saying to us, be careful not to say anything at all to the nations. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the prosperity of Israel. It's what we are commanded to do in Psalm 121, 122. My brother and sister. But for us to go on the radio and television and speak against Israel, no, we're not supposed to, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. He caught him up. Then Laban asked Jacob, what have you done by tricking me? You carry me of my daughter like a prisoner of war. The word war and prisoner is exactly what's going to happen, what Israel is going to do to the world in the last days. My brother and sister. And Israel for many years has been taking the enemy prison in Israel and putting them in jails. This word here has been coming to pass for thousands of years in Israel. In the last days, this is going to be seen more. And this can cause these other nations to rise against Israel in the last days. They're going to rise. God says they will. My brother and sister. But he said, you tricked me. In other words, Jacob did not seek Laban, the world, the intelligent community, for help on their plan in the last days. Actually, since 2008, since George Bush and Condoleezza Rice, and Condoleezza Rice came back to Israel, and Condoleezza Rice came back, the state secretary, and spoke against Israel and cut back the funding back to Israel, my brother and sister, since that happened, Israel began to cut the intelligence sharing with the United States from 2008, 2009, and all the way to now to 22. They don't share their intelligence like they used to. Some little here there. So everything Israel is doing is being done in secret. United States don't know completely what they're doing. No nation knows. My brother and sister. And so Laban, the world, the intelligent community, wanted to know what they're doing, what they're planning. And this gave Israel the room to plan and execute their plan. And Laban, the world, said, the international community said, you have tricked us, Israel. Why have you tricked us? Why have you tricked us, Israel? my brother and sister. So there's a trick here that they're claiming that Israel had done to the nations in the last days. That Laban claimed that Jacob had tricked him, which is Israel. His name was changed to Israel later by the angel of the Lord, by Jesus, who's coming to be with him, hallelujah, during the great tribulations, and will protect them and deliver them. Hallelujah. God said he will deliver Jacob through the prophet Jeremiah from all his trouble, Jacob's trouble. Messiah will be to fight for them, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. So as it was with Jacob back, and God spoke to Laban, not to say anything, but Laban, hallelujah, wicked tongue still said something. Verse 37, why did you leave secretly, Laban said, and trick me? This is the international community asking Israel, why have you tricked us in your military strategy in the last days? Why have you done this, Israel? They want intelligence again like they used to. That's not going to happen. Israel doesn't trust the United States anymore. Neither with Obama or Biden in office. They doesn't trust them anymore. They guess on trusting when Trump was in office. My brother and sister, their friendship grew back, but not anymore. So why do you leave secretly and trick me? And this is what the IDF will do. They will convey the secret plan. And they will move on and they will execute the secret plan, my brother and sister. Even though the nation will say, why are you doing these plans in secret? Why are you attacking here and there without letting us know? It's the way they're going to function. Okay? You didn't even tell me you were living. You're not sharing, hallelujah, you're not sharing military information, intelligent information, Israel. What's going on here? Why are you not sharing intelligence with us anymore, Israel? In the last day, Israel will develop their own plan, my brother and sister. Okay? I would have sent you on your way rejoicing with sons of a company with tribbering and lure. No. This was never. The enemy is always trying to get Israel to fall into the trick. But Israel has trick of their own, as they say, my brother and sister, in the last days. Verse 38. You didn't even let me kiss my children and my daughter. You have done a foolish thing. If Laban would have been listening to the Lord who spoke with him, not to say anything to Jacob, my brother and sister, this is what the nations fall in their own demise. In their own plan and their own agenda, they fall and they perish, as the word of God says. Because they don't listen to the Almighty. God says they don't take the advice of the Almighty. This is the Almighty advising Laban not to speak at all to Jacob. Not to do what Jacob is doing, what Laban is doing to Jacob. But the international community is not listening to God. They have overlooked God. When God has shown us, like God shows Sister Celestial, America now is on her own, making her own plan, her own agenda. And then the Lord confirmed it to me, and I saw when America, the woman, walked up to Jesus and slapped him in the face. In America, I heard America say, we're making their own plan. We're making our own way, Americans say. The nations are making their own way, their own plan, without God help, without seeking the Lord, the Almighty. My brother and sister, and they're going to perish. In their own plan and their own agenda, they're going to perish. They're not going to be standing. No wicked will ever be standing before the Almighty. His enemy will perish, the Bible says. There's so many prophets God has said already. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Look what Laban, the international community, all the UN nations says to Israel in the last days, I have the power to harm you. Hallelujah. The pride of these people is sickening. I can't listen to Biden speaking on the news. I cannot listen to Obama speaking. I cannot listen to any of these people speaking, Pelosi or none of them. I cannot listen to the pride. Because pride comes out of their mouth, their attitude, their eyes look, their eye look. Pride, there's just so much pride in them. My brothers and sisters. He says to Jacob, I have the power to harm you. And then he indicates, because they know about God. I saw America in the revelation of Jesus pointing her feet to God, to Jesus, her arm closed. Last night, the God of your father said to me, be careful not to say anything at all to Jacob. So they have heard from God. Now you have led me for your father home because you were homesick. The Bible says, homesick. But why do you steal my gods? He first indicated that Jacob had his own God. And it was the God of Jacob who spoke with him. But now he's claiming that Jacob stole his gods, my brother and sister. And we know that Jacob did not steal his God. Hallelujah. Verse 31, Jacob answered Laban, I left because I was afraid. This is exactly what the Great Tribulation is about. Great fear. Beast, demonic being loosened upon the earth. People turning into werewolf and beasts and flying, stalking, meat-eating bird, serpent, bats. My brother, all kinds of horrible two-headed Johnson & Johnson, two-headed monster. My brother and sister, on the earth walking, eat hungry all the time beasts. And every day they come out of a certain time of the day in the Great Tribulation to eat anyone who's around. People who stay behind the Great Tribulation, including Christians, have to live in the top of four-floor house, a third-floor house, a five-floor house, up in the attic, hiding from these beasts, because these beasts are looking to eat them, my brother and sister. So they live a life of fear. Jacob's trouble is 7 years of fear, complete fear, my brother and sister. When God talks about that he's going to give Jacob the new earth and all that, he said that Jacob will not fear anymore. Because the experience of the Great Tribulation to Jacob, to Israel, is fear. And here out of the mouth of Jacob who became Israel, Jacob answered Laban, I left because I was afraid. He left because of fear. Fear was the motive why Jacob is living such a difficult life in the Great Tribulation. My brothers and sisters, I thought you would take your daughter away from me by force. Here's where Jacob forgets that God fights for him. For some reason, Jacob, my brother and sister, forgets God's plan for them, my brother and sister. And God has to remind Jacob through the prophet. Hallelujah. He tells Jacob how the nations are going to rise against him. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. But God also saying that he will fight for them. Look, in Jeremiah, this is Israel's glorious future. Jeremiah 34, this is the message of the Lord spoke about Israel and Judah. This is what the Lord say. We hear a cry of fear. Remember, he just said he was afraid. Cried of panic. This is what the tribulation is about. Cried of peace. Not cried of peace. Nothing peaceful about the 7-year Great Tribulation. I don't know where these churches and pastors and ministers get their teaching that half of the Great Tribulation will be a peace. Because Father God Almighty confirmed to me that in the moment the Great Tribulation began, these demons are coming to the earth to torment people. And he showed me this theater in California, I remember, in the revelation of the Almighty. And he says to me, will they have peace? Do they seem to you like peace? And I saw this demon coming in this large theater in California, and it was getting into people's body, and there was people were running, the demon was tormenting them in the daylight. My brother insisted, this will be in the daylight. People will be able to see the demon clearly, no problem. My brother and sister, my Lord, my God. Okay? So the word of God confirmed, we hear cry of fear, cry of panic, and no cry of peace. It's terrible. I don't know where they get the teaching. That 3.5 years will be a peace. I still hear pastor on TVN on Daystar sometime. I don't watch the channel. In case some people think, you watch Daystar, you watch... No. But if I've been somewhere traveling and I put the Christian channel, and sometimes I hear these preachers say, the Great Tribulation, 3.5 years of peace, and then 3.5 years of more trouble and this and that. And they think like practically life, like the Left Behind movie, practically life will still be like it is now. I'm going to tell you that. That's a dream of the dreamer, because it's beyond that. Because as soon as the Great Tribulation began, people will change into beasts, and it's going to be horrible. Horrible, horrible. And some people, like Shaquille O'Neal, who got the Pfizer vaccine, is already experiencing no sleep. And if you don't believe me, Google it. Shaquille O'Neal is already... Remember the Lord showed me a revelation of Shaquille O'Neal months ago? He's already showing the signs of no sleep. You can Google it if you want. If you don't believe me. Praise you, Lord. So, ask now and see, can a man give birth to a child? Not possible. Why then do I see every strong man holding the stomach in pain? Why are they holding the stomach in pain? Nuclear radiation. The Great Tribulation is full of nuclear weapon going up everywhere and full of nuclear radiation everywhere. My brother insisted. So what happened? When people drink the water with nuclear radiation, it's painful. I saw it in the stomach. I saw people holding the stomach in pain. Well, here's the verse to confirm that. I see every strong man holding the stomach in pain. My brother says, all those revelations of the Great Tribulation Jesus has shown me are totally biblical, totally in the Word of God. My brother says, nothing is out of the Word of God. Like a woman giving birth to a child. Why have every face turned pale? Every face is turning pale because they are so hungry. They're going weeks and months without food. And because no one can die in the Great Tribulation. Revelation said that they will elude them. They will seek to die, but they will elude them. They have no business in the Great Tribulation killing anyone. My brother insisted. The only people that dead the only people that are going to die, which is, I don't know what to say, death, because Lazarus was not there. Lazarus was sleeping, Jesus said. As we say die, it's with the people that are being beheaded for Christ. They cut their neck, they separate their neck from the body, and then the head from the body, and then they'll be with the Lord. They'll be safe. They come under the altar, a place of hoping, like Abraham's bosom. I still haven't had the Lord show me what the under the altar means, because it's in Revelation. But I can see it like Abraham's bosom, because he showed me Abraham's bosom. It was a place close to hell where people's souls were being held until Jesus came and took them to heaven after he died on the cross. So when I hear Abraham's bosom, I since I was taken to the place more than twice, Jesus took me to Abraham's bosom to show me. It was a place of holding, protected by angels of God. And so I compare it to that, but I will have to ask the Lord to show me what is that place under the altar that these people will be hold on to. Those that comes out of the Great Tribulation, dead, beheaded. Why have every face turned pale? They're so hungry, they're so thirsty, that I saw that paleness on people. My brother insisted, when you look at the word pale in the Bible, I'll give you an example, pale skin. Let me see what kind of skin, I guess, if I can get a link for it. Thank you, Lord. Pale skin. And pale which it has to be sick skin, because that's exactly how they look, pale, sick skin. My brother insisted. It's a bunch on, let me see if I can show you, because it's similar to what I saw in the Great Tribulation. Okay, here's something similar to it that will give people an idea. Praise the Lord, what that, you can click on that link and look at the face of that young lady who has a pale skin, sick skin. There was another one, because I seen it so bad, okay, that I want to show something related to what I saw so people can get an idea. My brother insisted that what people are going to experience in the Great Tribulation is painful. Here's something. I like this image. Right? Okay. Pale. So I can share it with people. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. My brother insisted. Because these pale skin images or faces are so real. My brother insisted, and see if I can put this on the link. Thank you, Lord. It's just to show people an image of what we're talking about, in case no one has any idea. There it is. It's pale, sick skin, my brother and sister. Really sick, like someone who had not drank for weeks and eaten for months. It dries away the skin, and it's so pale, pale, sick. My brother's toxic-looking skin. It's another form to describe what I saw in the Great Tribulation after all these bombs have been launched over the air. The contamination is just out of this world. My brother insisted. So like a woman giving birth to a child, will have every face turn pale. How terrible that day will be. Notice that a seven-year Great Tribulation, which is Jacob's trouble, but it mentions it as a day, because the day of vengeance of the Lord. My brother and sister, so God is giving us a day, and then when you look at the day of vengeance of the Lord, you find in Isaiah and other verses, the day of vengeance of the Lord, that it was prophesied, my brother, that these pale faces will be. And there will be no other day like it. Who said this? Who said this? That the seven-year Great Tribulation, there will be none other like it. Jesus said it in Matthew 24. Like it never been before, like it'll never be again. And Daniel also said it. Actually, Jesus called Daniel. And Daniel calls Jeremiah. That's why when you follow, you know, the prophecy line, you understand. My brother and sister, Daniel quoted Jeremiah. And Jesus quoted Daniel. My brother insisted, follow the line. Hallelujah. And it will be a time of calamity for the descendants of Jacob. My brother insisted, it's going to be terrible for Jacob. Not as bad as the other nations, though. Not as bad as the other nations, because now God is working with Israel. Okay? Some describe it as a cleansing. It's all in God's hand. God will deal with his people. You know, I have to read what the word says and stay there. But they will be rescued from it. Notice how God clearly says that Israel is going to be rescued. My brother and sister, who's going to rescue Jacob or the children of Jacob, Israel? The same one who delivered Jacob before, the one that spoke to Laban, the one that told Jacob how to have his own wealth, Messiah. Messiah is the Savior of the world. It's the Savior of the nation of Israel. And so Jesus is going to deliver Jacob once again. Why? What did he tell his disciples in John 15:4-5? Without me, there is nothing you can do. The church, we have understand that, maybe not fully, because we need to be crying out to the Lord and asking the Lord for help. But the nation of Israel is going to get a really good understanding when Messiah intervened in the Great Tribulations. They're going to find themselves like Jacob, running, scared, afraid, but Messiah will deliver them. My brother, it's a promise of God. They will be rescued from it. Verse 8, on that day, the Lord of army, I will break the yoke. And this yoke, my brothers and sisters, is the tie that Israel has with the other nations. That's a joke in the back of Israel, my brother and sister. And we can go and study what a joke is, what it was to used to put on the bull to keep them in control, under their control, and make them work the land and all that. Well, Israel has a joke right now as a nation. And that joke, God doesn't like it. Okay? God doesn't like the joke Israel has now. God needs to break it because it's a worldly, Shalom Sister Luna, joke that Jacob has on. And the Lord is going to break this joke of Jacob, he says, of Israel. On that day, or last days, declare the Lord, or of army, I will break the joke off your neck and tear off your robe. Notice what is contaminated right now in the nation of Israel. My brothers and sisters. And of course, this is prophetic. This is prophetic, and you have to study it as it is. What is the joke off your neck and tear down your robes? My brothers and sisters. And all that has to do with contaminations. Contamination. This is why only 120,000 of the Jewish people in Israel, the rabbis, Jewish, have been vaccinated with the own by seeing, a vegetable-based by seeing. No RNA, no RMA, any. Okay? Which the nation of Israel that has the neck and the joke with the other nations don't agree with this by seeing. And they have the Pfizer and the Moderna and the Johnson & Johnson. So you know that these selected one out of the 12 tribes of Israel have refused the Moderna, the Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson, the AstraZeneca, and have their own vegetable based by seeing that they have taken. They refuse to take the other ones. And those other people that have taken those other by seeing wants to force them to take the by seeing, but now they practically have no choice but to say, okay, you guys want to have your own by seeing. Okay. My brother and sister. So there is so much going about. But God is going to reveal the mystery. He's going to begin to cleanse the nation, my brother and sister. And he's going to break the yoke. The Romans, they used to put jokes on the Christians to try to bring them into their own churches and idolatry and all that. Obligate them. Force them. My brothers and sisters. And so it is just so different than what it's supposed to be, what it used to be. There's still a form happening now among the nations. But God says, I will break the yoke off your neck and tear your robe. That means that there's a contamination among the rabbis that God's going to tear their robes. Robes, the rabbi had these robes that God ordered through Moses to Aaron and his sons as an ordinance on how the rabbi should be, for the ministry, should be dressed. So these rabbis still today in Israel have these robes. These ministering robes, these rabbi duty robes, okay? And it says here that God's going to tear the robes, my brother and sister. That means that there are some of them performing duty with robes that got with contaminations, in another word, contaminated. Breaking the yoke. When you read it in Isaiah 58, how God, when they talk about the fasting of the Lord, how the yoke is going to be broken of the people is when they humble themselves. So yoke can represent pride. Yoke can represent pride or demonic ties. Because other nations have other religions, and they have embraced it. The Catholic Church in Israel and other churches, that they worship idols. And some of these other leaders allowed it. It has not had the joke, the tie with it, which is God says, I'm going to break your yokes of your neck and tear down your rope. God says, my brothers and sisters, God doesn't like that contamination. The Dome of the Rock should have not been there. And God's going to tear down the Dome of the Rock. God's going to tear down those Catholic churches that are contaminating Israel. Idolatry and other, you know, worship of Islam. As Muhammad, the prophet, they claim, their prophet. All that religious that is not to God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, will be teared down by the Lord, by Messiah, in the great tribulation, because he's coming down to establish his kingdom. How he's going to establish his kingdom, Israel, when Israel has all these contamination? God says, no. I'm going to break the yoke off your neck and tear down your ropes. He needs to bring cleansing over the land, over the people. To the point he knows how much cleansing he needs to bring. We cannot say how much. Only God can say how much, and he's going to bring the cleansing. This is the cleansing he needs to bring in order to bring them right, bring them back to him. Wow. Foreigner will no longer make you serve them. And having other religions in Israel, other churches, it's a form of them making the Jewish people serve them. My brother insisted. God says, no, no more, no more. They have ties that God's going to break. They have ties to other nations that God's going to break. My brother and sisters, like churches, his church having ties with the world. My brother and sisters, no. God's going to break any ties that you and I will have with this world, church. God needs to break it. He needs to break the yoke in our lives. Money bondage. My brother, there's still people smoking cigarettes, marijuana, drinking alcohol. Those are jokes. Those are tights. Jokes on their neck that needs to be broken. God's going to break that. My brothers and sisters, we have a spiritual rope as a Christian that needs to be cleansed. Because according to Peter, we are priests. In John chapter 1, we are priests for the Lord. That means we have ropes. We have ropes. And God's going to tear those ropes. My brother and sister, there are not of him contamination in our garment, spiritual garment, spiritual robe. When I repent, I ask the Lord to cleanse my garment, my robe, with his holy blood. My brother and sisters, very, very important that we understand that we cannot have any type of contaminations because we could contaminate ourselves. My brother and sister, the Lord is coming for a holy, pure, righteous bride that has no spot or wrinkle on the garment. My brother and sister, that means we cannot have this yoke neither. These rope, contaminated rope. We must be holy unto the Lord our God. Amen? So, you will serve the Lord your God and David your king, and I will establish him for you. There you go. Messiah will be there. So will also be David, their king. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Yes, sister, we'll keep you in prayer. Okay? You need to fast and pray. And you need to ask the Lord to help you to be free from these jokes, these chains. Read Isaiah 58 while fasting. It's not the same if you read it when you're not fasting. When you're fasting without food or water, read Isaiah 58. And ask the Lord to reveal you there. And the Lord, shalom, sister, would reveal you there the stuff the contamination, that the change that he needs to break off your life. My brother and sister, with these changes, it's so difficult to serve the Lord. It's not that you're not a child of God, like some people say. Oh, am I not a child of God? No, it's that the change needs to be broken, because the devil will continue to use that against you. You know? He'll continue to use the chains and use it to make you fall back into sin. Disobedient, my brothers and sisters. That's what that is. Hallelujah. Freedom from the law is so important, my brothers and sisters. When I understood it, I cry out for the Lord to set me free. And when he began to set me free, I began to feel such a freedom. My Lord, that I want to see in other people. Because the Lord is able, and he loves us enough to do it. Amen. Don't be afraid, my servant Jacob, verse 10, God says. Declare the Lord. Don't be terrified, Israel. I'm going to rescue you from a faraway place. I'm going to rescue your descendants from where they are captive. Hallelujah. Your descendants of Jacob will again have peace and security. That's what Messiah is bringing in the land of Israel, my brother and sister. Peace and security for their lives. He's going to protect them. He will fight for them. Benjamin and I, says the Lord. They're going to enjoy what the Lord wanted it to have from the beginning. What the nation had lost in the garden. God's going to restore it back through Messiah. Remember that in the garden, not only did you have the fruit of good and evil, but you also had the fruit of life. And the devil did not trick them to eat from the fruit of life, because then the devil had no chance, no opportunity against them. Because the fruit of life is Jesus Christ our Lord, my brothers and sisters. So the devil wanted to trick them to eat from the fruit of good and evil, because that will give the devil the opportunity to attack their lives, their generational lines. And that's what the devil's been doing. My brother and sister. Terrible, terrible, terrible. But now God, through Christ, has given us the fruit of life. Because Jesus is the fruit of life. He's given us eternal life. My brother and sister. And now the Lord will protect us, will keep us, will deliver us, will be with us, fighting for us, my brother and sister. No one will frighten them, because frighten them is what they fear is what they have to live for 7 years during the Great Tribulation. But God promised to them is that no one will frighten them, because many will frighten them during those 7 years. But no one, not even one, God says, is going to frighten them anymore, because not even one of Israel's enemy will be standing. That's what Revelation 19 reveals, and that's when Messiah returned at the end of the 7 year Great Tribulation. My brother and sister, and he'll cut all Israel's enemy to pieces. All of them, he's going to cut to pieces. That's the great danger of the wrath of the Almighty God. My brother and sister, I am with you. I will rescue you, declare the Lord. Who will directly, rescue Jacob, Israel, during the Great Tribulation, the Lord, Messiah. Messiah is the one coming down on his white horse. He is the one coming to fight. He is the one who's going to protect them. He is the one who's going to deliver them. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Actually, I remember when I was taken several times to the Millennium, and I was in the Millennium, and I knew it on the earth, like, let's say, like here in the United States. I knew this was the land in the Millennium that we used to call the United States, but it's no more United States. But when you think about, if you want to go see Jesus, you head up to Jerusalem. That's where he is again established. That's where his kingdom is established again. You head up to Jerusalem, my brothers and sisters. He's there. And I went there in the Millennium. And I saw the Lord, the Seraphim. One time I was serving him. Another occasion, the Cherub was serving him. I'm sorry, the Archangel was serving him. You know, and protecting, and the protection of the Lord was there. Israel was total in peace. I saw many other Jewish people there. Total in peace, protected by Messiah, their Messiah, their Lord, their God. My brother, he has chosen 144,000 unto himself from them, from among them. And they were in total peace there in the millennium. The Lord wanted me to see it, that what he says in his word is true. He fulfilled his promise. And he showed me. I saw it. I delighted in seeing it. I rejoice in seeing it. My brothers and sisters, it's so beautiful to see God's word come to pass, and the Lord showed it to me so I can share it with you. His plan, he's bringing to pass. Nothing will hurt, he said through Isaiah, my holy mountain, saith the Lord. In the last days, declare the Lord. Nothing will hurt. God, Israel will be at peace, God says. Thank you, Lord. I will completely destroy all the nations where I scatter you. You know, most in all the nations, Israel has been scattered. Okay? Jewish people have been known to be in Spain, England, Italy, Germany. And in the last days, you notice something. There were now so many going back to the promised land than from Russia, United States, and Africa. There were a specific country where Jewish people, even from Syria, I didn't know there were so many of them in Syria, in Damascus, of the Jewish people. And with the problem with Syria in the last day, I didn't know this. I didn't even know this until I saw it, until I learned it on television. So many Jewish were already established in Damascus. God said that Damascus will be a he unto all the nations in the last day. And so that prophecy of all the Jewish being there as the Damascus being bombed, they've been fleeing to Israel, my brother and sister. So God said, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you've been backsliding, give an example, and you turn back to the Lord, now you're going to be tested again. Don't give up in your testing. Continue to look to Jesus. Continue to fast and pray, even if you are in pain, whatever you're going through. Okay? Sin has consequences. When we repent our sin, God forgives us through Christ. Amen. He died for us on the cross. But then we will have to be tried again. The enemy will accuse us to attack us. But if you stay the course, if you stay focused on the Lord, continue to repent and fast, all that will go away. But you have to commit. Because one of the problems is not committing. And the pain will be bad. It will be hurtful. But it's part of your testing now. So being faithful until death, Jesus said. Praise you, Lord. My brother and sister, and I can testify that. I went through that myself. But you have to now commit to the Lord. And the Lord, who is our healer, who sent his word over 5 million of his children in the wilderness and healed them all. Heal them all from all pain and all sickness. Bible said by his stripes, we are healed. Yes, we'll pray. We'll pray. Continue to pray. Remember to commit your life to God. You have to stay firm on your faith and your confession, the Bible says. Very, very important. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But I will not completely destroy you. It sounds like God is against Israel, but he's not. He's for Israel. But his enemy are the ones that are against Israel. But God has to allow certain attack to come on Israel, as we have seen on television, my brothers and sisters. And that those attacks is God saying to Israel, look, commit yourselves to me with all your heart, and this is what you search your heart. Search your heart. And say, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to serve you with all my heart. I might not have done it in the past, Lord, but I want to serve you with all my heart. I want to sincerely repent and serve you with all my heart and all my life, Lord. And when you begin to make this commitment with the Lord and you fast and you pray and you're going to see God changing things around your life. My brother and sister, God knows the heart. It's the thing. He weighs our heart, Proverbs says. So we need to see that in our heart we're sincere. Sincere repenting. Sincere confession. And when everything is sincere, one thing that the Lord had taught me was over the years, remember when someone said, Brother Ovi, you know, I want to serve the Lord, I'm coming, can you pray for me? And I said, yes, okay, I'll pray. You know, the Lord had me led to tell people, fast and pray. And the Lord says, if they are sincere, they will do it. They will fast and pray. If they're not, they won't, the Lord says. So God uses fasting to see how sincere our heart is before him. If we commit, if we fast and pray, we are sincere. You know, think about the churches that don't even believe in fasting. There's a lot, thousands of them. They don't believe in fasting. But then now that you see them accepting homosexual in the ministry, lesbian in the ministry, they're doing all these things. My brother and sister, why? Because they didn't commit their life to the Lord as the Lord wanted. They didn't fast as the Lord wanted. God knew in their heart, if they don't commit their heart to him through fasting, my brother and sister, okay, I don't know why I keep talking about this, but I'm going to go to Isaiah to show you. 58. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. God sends Isaiah to the people of God, to Israel in his timing, to speak to them here in Isaiah 58. And look how God speaks to the prophet to speak back to the people. He says, cry aloud and don't hold back. Raise your voice like a ram horn. Tell my people about their rebellion. Because rebellion in the Bible is like as the sin of idolatry. When we are rebelling to God, it's like you're worshiping another idol. And a lot of people don't see it. And a lot of people don't get it. That when we've been disobedient, rebellion is been as an idol worshiper. You can look it up in the Bible, rebellion. My brother and sister, it's like an idol worshiper. Solomon, when he followed these women of other nations in rebellion, he ended up worshiping their gods. And God reduced them almost to nothing. God removed almost all the tribe of Israel from among him. All the prosperity of Solomon were practically gone in his last days. God almost took everything from him. My brother and sister, rebellion is like idolatry. Again, they look for me every day and want to know my ways. They act if they were a nation that has done what's right. And if they haven't disregarded God's judgment on them, how many people today, in your program, all you do is talk about God's judgment and this and that. And, you know, why so much of God's judgment? Why is it being so negative, Brother Elvie? And they don't get it. Why do we need to teach about it and explain it, as the Lord's been showing me in vision and dreams, for us to get a wider picture and understanding about God's judgment so we don't fall under it? God will protect us. He will protect us from his own judgment upon the earth, like he showed me this week protecting us. I saw when Jesus with his hand moved me to the side, so this weapon of Russia will not be able to harm me. My brother and sister, amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, God's judgments are true. Okay? He wants to deliver us from his own judgment he has declared. My brother, because his word is true. They ask me for just decree. They want God to be near them. Every Christian will tell you they want God. They want God's presence in their lives. They want God near them. Why have we fasted if you're not aware, they say? Why have we fasted if we're not aware? They said they're complaining. Why have we inflicted pain on ourselves and you pay no attention and you don't pay attention? Well, because, you know, when you fast, you're really inflicting pain on your body. You know, it hurts your body to fast every week. It hurts your body. That's why some people have a hard time fasting. It hurts them. It's hard for them to stay without food all day. You know, we're only asking people in the Lord fasting here, corporate fasting Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You know, we fast Monday with no food, no water to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's it. A lot of people cannot do that. How many people have told me they have stopped doing the corporate fasting, which was a blessing to their life? They can tell you. I can ask them, was it fasting already? Oh, it was a tremendous blessing, Brother Ellie. So why do you stop? Okay? Yes. Yeah, AI is operating the Russian thing. And not only that, satellites. That's what I was looking at when the Lord was speaking to me. They're operating on the satellites. My brother and sister. Okay? So no water, no food till 4 o'clock on Monday. Then Wednesday is with water. And Friday is with water. That's it. And I don't know that, sister. We'll have to ask the Lord. You can drink tea if you want. And the fasting, I don't know what you like to drink. Juice. But again, it's how the Lord lead you in your fasting. But you can join us. And you have victory. You have victory. We'll pray for you. We will bless you during your fasting. Hallelujah. Now, listen to what God, you don't see on the day you fast. Do you do what you want to do. So God is saying to them, man, look, you're not doing my will. You're doing your will. You do what you want to do, he says. When they fast, you do what you want to do. And instead of saying, okay, Lord, you want us to do Monday fasting, no food, no water? Okay, we'll do it. I've been struggling with a little cold this past few days, so I did it Monday with liquid, but then I repented to the Lord because there's supposed to be no food, no water. So we all struggle, but then you repent to the Lord because when we sin against the Lord. Remember that. Remember that, please. My brothers and sisters, thank you, Lord, because I made my commitment to the Lord. So I know that. You do what you want to do. We need to be careful doing our will. Not my will, Father, thy will, Jesus said. You mistreat all your worker. And that mistreating is an attitude of being abusive. Instead of being humble, being abusive while you're fasting, don't be abusive, you know? Remember that you're fasting for the Lord, you know? Do what Jesus did when he had the cross on his back going to being crucified. What did I say? I say he did. He opened not his mouth. Isn't that incredible? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And also, because I do this, if you know you're going to fast Monday, begin to pray days before for the Lord to help you during the fasting. If Monday is hard for you with no food, no water, ask the Lord to take away your desire for eating and drinking on Monday. And watch that the Lord will help you. Ask the Lord. Test the Lord and see that the Lord is good, they would say. Test and see that the Lord is good. Ask the Lord Jesus to help you during your fasting that you will not be hungry. And that you will not desire food or water. And the Lord will take those desires from you. Take it, Lord, please. He will. He'll help you. Amen. You don't see that when you fast. And then you crawl, fight, and beat your worker. It's an attitude that God wants us to have. Hallelujah. Listen. And now look at this. Which no one wants this to happen to them. The way you fast, they keep you from being hurt in heaven. I remember years ago, oh, you know, Brother Elvie, I pray, but it's like God doesn't hear my prayer, some people say. How are you fasting with God? How are you walking with him? Again, everything is in the Word of God that we need to know. And God tells us in his Word. The way you fast today keeps you from being heard in heaven. When do you want God to hear you in heaven? When you pray, when you ask. Because he said, ask and it shall be given to you. You want God that when you ask, he gives it to you. So what keeps that from happening? The way you behave while you're fasting against your family. Oh, don't bother me, I'm fasting. No. No, that's not an attitude. Oh, don't talk to me, I'm fasting today. No. God says no. You know, your mother said, can you come down and help me wash these dishes? Mom, not today, I'm fasting, leave me alone. God says no. That's when you need to be humble. And just like the Lord, don't open your mouth and go down. Help your mom to wash the dishes. It's funny because in the day you're fasting, because this happens to me, but it's when you are tested more. If that happens to you, the day you're fasting is when they want to start something with you. Oh, don't go there. No. And when you do that while you're fasting, you don't get into argument with people. Okay, you don't disagree. If you know you're going to get in an argument, do what Jesus did. He opened not his mouth. Walk away. Walk away. Remember in the wedding of Canaan, or so after the wedding of Canaan, they wanted to stone the Lord. Or they were looking for him. He went and disappeared from them. My brother and sister, because if you get an argument with people, it's not going to end that well. Okay, so... And during the fasting, don't get into arguing with people. Stay away from arguing. Someone asks you for a favor, do your best. Because you're going to be tested while you're fasting. Okay? That's when you want to remain quiet, humble. Because you're doing it for the Lord. And God's, this is what God was rebuking upon his people Israel. That they were doing wrong. They were squalling. They were arguing. They were fighting while they were fasting. My brothers and sisters, it was like a World War III going on while they were fasting. And God says, no, don't do that. Okay? And then God said, the way you fast today, God said to the people, keep you from being hurt in heaven. In other words, you're asking God to supply you this, to do this for you, open your door for a job, whatever you're asking God, healing. And it's not happening. It's because when you're fasting, you're arguing with people. You're fighting. You're telling people to leave you alone. You're yelling that you're fasting. I don't even like it when people go around and say, I'm fasting today. No. Actually, the Bible tells you that when you're fasting, I'm going to have to look it up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now that we got into the topic, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's important that we understand that fasting is between you and God, okay? It's something that you should not be telling everyone you're fasting, announcing that you're fasting. My brother and sister, no. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He says, fasting, Matthew 6:16. When you fast, stop looking sad like the hypocrite. God deals with our attitude while we're fasting. I put this in the chat room. My brother and sister, a lot of people don't know this. You're supposed to look this stuff in the Bible. When you fast, stop looking sad like the hypocrite. Don't be put in face like you're fasting. I'm fasting. No. You know? It even says to wash your face when you're fasting. They put on sad faces to make it obvious that they're fasting. So they're like, they put this face, these people, the Pharisees will put this face, and they walk among the community. Everyone will know they were fasting. They had this garment they put on, And everyone knows the day they were fasting. You hypocrite, Jesus said. You just want to be seen by man. We have to avoid that because that's hypocrite, my brothers and sisters. Okay? I can guarantee you the truth that they will be their only reward because they're seeking to be seen by man. But Lord says, no, don't do this. Don't do this. My brothers and sisters, it's not the attitude that the Lord wants us to have. Okay? When you fast, verse 17, wash your face and comb your hair. That's why I like this translation. Because notice how clearly it tells you the way you're supposed to behave when you're fasting. Okay? Wash your face. Okay? Remember to go to the bathroom and wash your face when you're fasting. Okay? Amen. The Peruvian movie, the great movie. When you fast, wash your face and comb your hair. Then your fasting won't be obvious. Notice what God don't want us to do when we're fasting. Make it obvious. Oh, I'm fasting. Actually, fasting is so private that when I wanted to do this corporate fasting, I asked the Lord if I could. Because the Lord knows that from his word, I have the understanding that when you're fasting, you're not supposed to tell anyone. It's private between you and God. So I had to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, can I do this corporate fasting with my brothers and sisters of the Lord's hour? And so the Lord said, yes, go ahead. Gave me permission, my brothers and sisters. So that's why I know it's such a blessing. Yeah, some of you, if you have not watched the Pelgrim Progress movie, Sister Luna, if you can put the link in the chat room, I appreciate it. This movie is a cartoon type of movie, but it's well detailed. It will encourage you a lot in the Lord. Amen. So then your fasting will be obvious. Instead, it will be obvious to your Father who is with you in private. Notice that Jesus mentioned that fasting is a private matter between us and God. This is why I had to ask the Lord for the corporate fasting. Okay? But it's private. Thank you, sister. It's private. Remember that. Private. Keep it private. Keep it between you and God. You don't need to email me and say, brother, I'm fasting. No, it's private. Same thing with me. I don't need to be emailing everybody. I'm fasting today. No, it's private between us and God. We choose today so we can do it in agreement and we can pray for one another also. And God will help us through it, during it. Amen. So, your fasting will be obvious instead. It will be obvious to your Father who is with you in private. Your Father sees what you're doing in private. He will reward you. Notice that everything you do for the Lord, for God Almighty, he rewards us. He cannot reward us in heaven for fasting. Think about it. For praying, for helping people. But here specifically is for fasting. In case, like, because, you know, some people, brother, I'm going through this and that. What should I do? And I said, well, pray and fast. I'll pray for you also, but pray and fast for this matter. Because I have gone through a lot of different problems that comes out in life, right? So the attitude, what the Lord guided me was to pray and fast. Every time the Lord led me to fast and pray for these problems, some right away and some not right away, but he gave me the victory over them through fasting, my brother and sister. And then you read in the Bible how God gave Daniel the victory and all the Jewish people the victory. So fasting is such a powerful tool that God has given us, my brother and sister. So, but he's going to reward us for doing that. Okay? Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Take everything in prayer. Take everything in prayer with the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So just keep that in your understanding with the Lord, how important it is. Okay? Verse 5, this is the kind of fasting I have chosen. God has to choose for us because God given us the opportunity to choose and then we go and choose wrong. We don't even know how to choose. People make decisions every day over their lives. And do they fail a lot? A lot. People make a lot of mistakes. Years ago, all Christianity was 50, 40s, and early Christianity was that they asked the Lord to guide them. Lord, lead me to do what I need to do. They pray. Lord, what do I need to do in this situation? Lead me, Lord. Guide me in this. And the Lord will reveal to them in a dream or vision, or will speak to them on how to deal with the situation. Complete victory they had. That has been forgotten among Christianity today. This is not even, you don't hear people say, oh, dear sister, dear brother, pray for the Lord to guide you in this situation and what decision should you make. You don't hear that anymore. And this has been so powerful among Christianity for years. Jesus said, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will lead you to all truth. What does that mean? What does that mean? He will lead you to all truth. That whatever true in the matter you need to know, when you fast and pray and you say, Holy Spirit, lead me. Lord, lead me through your Holy Spirit. And what step or action I need to take in this matter, you will always have the victory from God. A lot of the time, why we don't have victory always as we should as a Christian, because we're not asking God to lead us in all these things. We're just making our own decision. We think that our decision, because I'm older, you know, and some people, I got a bachelor's degree, I'm this, I'm that, and, you know, I can make right decision. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Because there's no bachelor's degree better than the decision of the Holy Spirit leading you, of the Lord leading you. There's no degree that can be above the Holy Spirit of God, above the Lord. That's impossible, my brother and sister. But that's what this humanity is telling God for years. They think that their decisions are so smart. They're so experienced. They think I'm 90. I'm 70. You know, I'm 67. You know, I lived so many years. I know what I need to do, what decision I need to make. Wrong. Wrong. I'm 21 already. I'm 18. I know what I need to do and say. Wrong. Wrong. My brothers, that's why humanity is going to keep falling on their faces and getting hurt without asking the Lord for leadership, for guidance, for direction. Look like the, pray like the elder. Lord, what decision that I need to make in this matter? Lord, where do you want me to go? What job do you want me to do? What position do you want me to hold? Who do you want me to talk to, Lord? Those was the prayer of those people. Those prayers are unknown today. They disappear. People pray differently today. Totally different than asking the Lord, whom, Lord? Who is this person, Lord? Give me a name, Lord. Remember you too. Lord, give me a name. Okay? And the Lord said, go speak to Marian. 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 Okay, Lord. And the person before go apply for a job, right? It goes to a few interview. Have not met no Marian yet, right? And then order a sign and goes to a position to apply to a company. And the person that was supposed to interview this person doesn't show up, and they send Marian to do the interview. And the Lord said, has said already, Marian is the person that you need to talk to that I will use to give you the position you need, my child. Hallelujah. The Lord is never wrong. The Lord will never lead you wrong. My brother and sister, all those wonderful prayers have been lost over the years. People think they got it. Let me tell you, they got it wrong is what they got. Hallelujah. We need to trust the Lord in our everyday, in our decision, in our guidance. We need to get back with the Lord and ask the Lord for guidance, direction. My brother and sister, wisdom, understanding. Lord, I don't understand this problem, Lord. Lord, I don't understand this situation. Will you enlighten me, Lord? I remember Pastor John. He said, Lord, I'm going to open your Bible, your word. I want you to show me in your word what decision I need to make today in my job, Lord. Okay? What do I need to do today, Lord? I'm going to open your Bible, and you're going to tell me, Lord, give me the wisdom and understanding that when I open the word, Lord, I understand what you're saying to me. Give me the wisdom and knowledge. And the Lord gave him a knowledge that I have not met a pastor with such a knowledge and wisdom from the Lord on his word for direction and guidance. He will pray. He will open his Bible. And the Lord, whenever, it doesn't matter where in the Bible, he opened the Bible. The Lord will give him the word, and he said, Brother Elvin, look what the Lord just gave me for today. And read it to me. I'm like, wow. I never seen, and explain it to me with such a wisdom and knowledge of the word of God. And he has done this for so many years, brothers and sisters. Pastor John, who's in heaven, who the Lord brought me to see his mansion, give him a hug. You're going to meet him when you go home in the rapture. You're going to meet Pastor John. And this is Pastor John here. The Lord guided him every day on the earth. Every day the Lord will give him a word and a guidance and a leading. And what's the way? He had victory after victory after victory. My brothers and sisters. In such an incredible way. My brothers and sisters, that it was stunning. The wisdom and guidance. I shared the building up in Massachusetts that God used him to bring to for the homeless and to give food and clothing for a huge building, my brothers and sisters. That God just provided to him. God showed him. He read it in the Bible. He prayed. He fasted. He waited on the Lord until the Lord says, okay, go, my servant. Go to this place. Speak with this man, and he will put the building in your hand. I will through him put the building in your hand, and you can start this work to help these people. And it was exactly how the Lord said it. This man, my brothers and sisters, have bought this building and didn't know what he wanted to do with the building. He was willing just to said he had lost so much money in business there, that he was willing to give it away practically for anything, to anyone. And there God led Pastor John, and God prospered the place incredibly. People donated clothing, food, boxes of food, a business donated food, just as God led him, boxes and shipping and delivering of food. Pallets were coming into the building to give to the homeless and clothing. And when he told that, make a church in Boston come. And if you need clothing, if you need food, these are the day that we're there, we'll give it to you. And people were coming in, people were blessed by the Lord through him, by the guidance of the Lord in his life. People were blessed, my brother and sister. And God can do it with any one of us. Amen. We need to grow in our faith. Amen. I learned so much from him. He was such a blessing to my life. I miss him so much because of the wisdom God has given him, my brother and sister. Amen. So verse 5, shall people humble themselves only in a day? There's a question. Shall people only humble themselves in a day? Is fasting just bowing your head like a cocktail or making your bed from sackcloth and ashes? This is what you call fasting? Is this the acceptable day of the Lord? This is the kind of fasting now, God said, that I had chosen. Okay? They were doing a fasting that seemed okay to them. And sometimes churches do that. Churches, they put together a program, organization, churches, and then they say, well, and they have a thing on the wall that say how they do the fasting and all that. They create their own program. And God talks about their program. Okay? They are on verse 5, my brother and sister. Okay? But God is saying to us, be careful with programs. Okay? Because you're doing this for the Lord. It's the most important thing you need to understand. So verse 6. This is the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loosen the chain of wickedness. We have talked about these chains. They are demonic chains that hold people to habits, bad habits, smoking, drinking. You know, these are chains that need to be broken. Jokes are like much stronger. Chains, it's like, think about the slave being chained. That the chain can be broken. And one way to break chain, remember Paul in the prison, and it was Paul, I'm trying to think the other disciple, they were worshiping, and the chain was broken. Worshiping is a powerful way. While you're fasting, for these chains to be broken, my brother and sister. So remember that, okay? Untie the strap of yoke, okay? Notice how God explains that their yoke, they are trapping people's lives that needs to be. And you know, I did this with brothers and sisters, and we fasted and lay hand on them and truly rebuked so many demons out of them. That they didn't know they were there. They didn't know they were so bound in chain. They were trapped to these demons. My brother insisted. And I know because of the distance, you know, and it's not the same. Laying hand is so powerful. It's in the Bible, the disciple lay hand on people. So, but you can even lay hand on yourself. I was speaking with this man of God saying, a lot of Christians want people to lay hand on them. But you can lay hand on yourself and rebuke demon from yourself. Break these chains on yourself. So don't be thinking, oh, someone needs to lay hand on me. Lay hand on yourself while you're fasting and praying. And plan to lay hand on yourself with. Put oil on your right hand. Pray to the Lord that when you lay hand on your forehead to rebuke demon principality, these chains, all these things in your of your life, you're doing it while you're fasting with no food and no water. I find out over the years that when you fast with no food and no water, it's easy to command demon out and they'll leave. My brothers and sisters, powerful, powerful, powerful. So do this while you're dry fasting, no food, no water. Amen? So to untie the strap of a yoke, okay? And then let the oppressed go free. Now, you got people oppressed and you got people depressed, okay? I believe a lot of depression comes from oppression, my brother and sister. And I say that because I work in mental health community, in the mental health community for many years, and pray for people, my brother and sister, who were depressed medically. You know, they were told they were depressed, they had depression, and they were taking medication and all that. And I pray, and the Lord set them free while I was fasting. I told them that I will be fasting. I asked them to fast and commanded the demon oppression out of them, and depression went. I commanded depression, oppression to leave them, and they were set free, my brother and sister. So I truly believe that depression comes from oppression of the enemy. My brother, people need to be set free from them. So if this is happening to you, if you feel depressed on many occasions, okay, you need to fast, dry fast, no food, no water, and begin to bind and rebuke this. Break the curse of oppression from your generation line, your father and your mother's side, and their generation line back to Adam and Eve, from first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh generation. Seven means fulfillment, remember. Thank you, Lord. Fulfill that over your life. Break every yoke. In other words, cause I was in a car. I was in my car. A brother asked me to pray over him because he felt demons over his life. And they were causing him a lot of things, and he started telling me. And I said, all right, let's choose this day in the week. Let's fast. And we'll do this in my car. We'll go to my car. And we were there near the lake, him and I. And we began. He couldn't believe hundreds and thousands of demons came out of him. He couldn't believe he had so many demons. When we came out of the car, he felt like he was floating in the air, so free. He said to me, I never been so free in my life, he says. And he started hearing God after that voice. He says, he could not hear God. He'll hear a preacher talking and all this. He could not hear the voice of God. Of so much oppression he had away, so much demonic oppression. And we were breaking the yoke, since the Lord has trained me over the year in prison and so many places, in hospital, in churches, to pray over people. the Lord had trained me. And what he was telling me, I knew it was demonic. And when I began to say in that church in the Hanson, this was demonic, a lot of people turned their face like, oh, not another one of this. But I was firmly speaking about this type of joke demonic that people need to be set free of in order for them to come close in their relationship with God, hear the voice of God and all that, begin to have these dreams and vision from the Lord and understand them clearly without the devil interfering in this revelation, my brother and sister. So, you know, we need that. We need such a freedom, and the Lord can give it to us. John 8:32, you will know the truth will set you free. See, the truth you learn from the word of God, and the truth is Jesus Christ. John 8:36, whom the Son, Jesus, Messiah, set free, it is free indeed. Isaiah 61, he came to set the captive free. Anyone under demonic influence is captive. Jesus came to set them free. If you're in that situation, you have to fast and pray and command these things to leave you. And the devil now knows that if you do this, you'll gain authority in the Lord, your authority in Christ. My brother and sister, and I was saying to someone, always contacting me to rebuke demon at her house and rebuke demon at her house. And she invited my family and I. We went in different locations. We cast out demon and all that. And then she was always on the phone every week the same. I said, dear sister, listen, I'm going to tell you this. I don't mind helping you, fasting and praying, casting out these demons. But you need yourself to use your authority in the Lord. God has given every Christian authority in him. And as long as you don't use your authority, those demons keep coming back to you because they don't fear you. They're not afraid of you rebuking them because you're not doing so. You're not using your authority. So they're taking advantage of you being afraid to rebuke them. And as long as you're under the fear of not rebuking these demons, they're going to keep coming back and harassing you. The devil loves nothing more than harassing Christians, harassing people. That's what he does. He's wicked, he's evil. But when you learn to use your authority in the Lord and bind him, and it's gonna start slowly. It's gonna be a little difficult in the beginning. You're gonna be like, but the Lord will give you the confirmation to your spirit of the authority he has given you. And when you ask the Lord to, you claim what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus defeated them on the cross. You gotta claim that in prayer and command them to go in the name of the Lord. And the Lord is faithful. Use your authority, because when you practice your authority, the Lord will anoint you and anoint you. And Isaiah said that the anointing will break every yoke. But in this anointing, you got to grow. You got to practice it, and you got to grow in it. And you got to command the devils, the demons, and they'll leave. They'll leave. In the beginning, oh, they want to show off and let you know they're not leaving, that you don't have it, and you got to better ask someone else to do it for nonsense. Practice your authority as a Christian in the Lord, and watch what would happen as you practice it. Ask the Lord to anoint you. Before you do this, pray, Lord, your word says in Isaiah that the anointing breaks the yoke. Lord, I pray for your anointing, Jesus, in your name. Anoint my life, body, soul, and spirit. Anoint me, Lord, to do this in your name, Lord, to cast them out in your name. Cast them out, Lord, in your name. Okay? And the Lord is faithful. He anoints you. And keep asking. And don't stop asking. And even if you feel in your spirit you're being anointed by the Lord, keep asking for more. Don't think that, it's going to run out. Heaven will run out of anointing. It's already too much nonsense. Don't let the devil tell you that you're too anointed. Neither. No. Don't let the devil tell you have too much of God in you. No. Keep asking for more. Because you're going to learn when you go to heaven that in God, this is on and on and on forever and ever. My brother and sister, imagine you're speaking with one of those angels that are billions of years old. And they're still getting more from God every day. My brother, there's no end to God. There's no end to what God can give us, my brother and sister. You ask for more every day. Lord, anoint me more. Empower me more. Hallelujah. And as you do, the demon will respect you more and stay away from you. Because you're turning into a trouble for them. They need to stay away from you. Because you're asking for more anointing. You're asking for more power. You're destroying the plan in your life. My brother and sister. And then if you pray for someone else, the plan of the devil is broken in their life also. Praise you, Lord. So don't let them tell you have enough. My brother and sister, no. Keep seeking for more. Keep asking for more. Okay? I keep asking the Lord. The Lord has said to me, he has increased my faith. You think that that stopped me from asking him to increase my faith more every day? No. He tells me he increased my faith. I keep asking the Lord to increase my faith. And that benefit me. That benefit the ministry. That benefit many other people. Because then we pray, people tell me, Brother Elvie, remember the prayer that I asked you about? The Lord already answered it. Remember this? The Lord already answered it. You know, and those are the report I get. So I know the Lord hears my prayer. I know the Lord have increased my faith, but I'm still asking the Lord to increase it more and more every day because we need it, my brother and sister. We need it. We got to go on beyond the mustard seed. The mustard seed is a smaller seed of all, my brother and sister. But when it's planted in the ground and it grows to be the largest tree of all. Your faith can grow and grow and grow and grow, my brother and sister. Amen. Yes, ask the Lord to cleanse you with his blood and his holy fire. Thank you, Lord. He'll do it. He'll do it. Our sister, our dear sister told me years ago, right? She says to me, Brother Elvie, the Lord had grown so much in the power of God that she had grown so much that she was telling me that in the spirit, every night after she prayed, she went to sleep, there were demons to come to attack her. She saw herself jumping and beating on them and sending them away. And she says, Brother, this happens almost every night. After I finish my prayer, I go to bed, and the Lord showed me they're coming to attack me. I beat on them, and I send them away. And I said, Sister, see, because you are seeking to grow for God to empower you. And God have empowered you so much that God is showing you beating them easily. They having no chance against you. Amen. Just continue to keep yourself for the Lord. Many people, I think that they are victims. And the devil wants to keep them victims instead of being victorious in the Lord. My brother says, no. You don't have to be a victim of your life. No. My brother and my sister. You are more than a conqueror in the Lord. You need to read Romans 8:28 and on. Read it. My brother insisted, you are more than a conqueror. There's nothing created that can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You just got to commit your life to the Lord and seek the Lord more than anything. Seek his power, his anointing. Ask him to fill you with his spirit. Baptize you with his spirit. Fill you with more power. Like the book of Acts Church, they have that in filling up the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, happening over the life as they were seeking God, and God was just giving them more. You and I need to be seeking the same, being empowered. My brother insisted. Yeah, sometime I had gone into prayer, I shared a testimony, and God filled me with so much power. When I go in the supermarket, people are being touched by the presence of God, and they're like, wow, what is this? My brother insisted. Why? Because I keep asking for more, and it's, why should I just continue with the anointing of last week or last month when I can keep asking for more and more? I'm not hurting anyone. I'm not hurting myself, and I'm not hurting anyone. On the contrary, God is blessing me and blessing other people by it, by his presence and anointing. So why should I stay with last year's anointing? Last year's anointing was last year's anointing. We're in 2023 now. Why don't we see greater anointing this year? Greater power, greater fire. Why don't we seek that? Greater lightning. Praise you, Lord, this year. Greater faith. So let's seek for that this year. that where we were in faith last year, this year we're double, we're triple, we're quadruple in faith. Amen? Well, why do you make that a year plan for your life? And you say, God, this year, I want 2023 will end where my faith is triple and quadruple. Hallelujah. My anointing, your presence in my life, quadruple, Lord. I want to walk in fire. I want to walk in power. I want to walk in such a faith that everyone around me will be touched. My brothers and sisters, I can come out of prayer with the Lord. I go out. I don't need to say I'm a Christian to nobody. And I walk in the supermarket and people are being touched left and right by the presence of the Lord. My brother and sister, all glory to the Lord. And I don't need to tell them I'm a Christian, but the presence of the Lord is obvious. And they get touched by the Lord. All glory be to the Lord. My brother and sister, I have people in the line. Wow, what a presence. Praise be to the Lord. And I hide myself. I don't want them to look at me. No. My brother and sister, all glory be to Jesus. We just need to seek more of the Lord, more of him. Let people around us be touched by the Lord, by his presence, his anointing. My brother and sister, and see that God is real, that there's still someone walking with God like Elisha. Lord, your prophets, they have killed, Lord. He thought that everyone had, you know, bowed to Baal, and Elisha thought he was the only one. And God says to Elisha, Elisha, I have reserved 7,000 unto myself, God said to the prophet. Like, Elisha, don't think that you're the only one. There are other men and women praying, repenting, and seeking me, and I'm filling them with my presence. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. There are people hiding for the Lord with tremendous power of God, tremendous anointing, but they're quiet hiding, waiting on the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Because that's what we need to do, wait on the Lord. Wait on him. The coming hour, the coming moment where God is going to show his mighty power, my brothers and sisters, and everyone will see it, and everyone will praise him for it. We're supposed to be like Elisha in the last days. My brother, these are the days of Elisha. Haven't you heard? These are the days of Elisha. Elisha walked in such a power that Elisha wanted it. People wanted what Elisha had. And it was his relationship with God. His closer prayer. His weekly fasting with God. And your commitment with God. Don't change your commitment. Don't break your commitment. A lot of people break the commitment. If you do repent, come back to it. That's what I do. If I'm sick, I know that I do a water fasting, Lord. And if I could not complete my commitment that day, I repent, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry for. And the Lord understands also. It's not like the Lord said, oh, you broke your word to me. The Lord understands. It's us being sincere and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I was not able to fast today. I said that I would, Lord. I committed myself to you, Lord. And I'm sorry for breaking my word, not keeping my commitment, Lord. Help me to do my fasting. When you say to the Lord, help me to do my fasting, Lord, I'm sorry, God sees that you're being sincere. You're turning back to him. And that's what God kept calling the Jewish people back to. Just turn back to him. If he's willing to forgive you, he's also willing to help you. My brother, so Lord is our help, our helper. God doesn't like it when people don't turn to him and say, God, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, you know I made a mistake. Help me, Lord. I want to serve you. I want that when you come back, I want to go home with you, Lord. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your presence, Lord. Just turn back. Turn back to the Lord. Humble yourself. Cry to him from your heart. Don't try to understand what your heart means. Because God looks at your heart. God looks at the heart. Man looks at your experience. Remember Samuel? God looks at the heart, God says to Samuel the prophet. So when you cry out from your heart, when you pray from your heart to God, those are the prayer God wants to hear. Those are the prayer that God's going to answer because you're being sincere when it's from your heart. That's why I said, love the Lord with all your heart. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Not lean on your own understanding. God is calling us that everything we do for him, we do it with all of our heart. Not 10%, not 5%, not 90%. Some people are going to say, but Larry, I'm a 90% already. God wants 100%. My brother and sister, how do you know you're out there? Is God your priority every day? Or he's in second place? My brother and sister, God is the second thing I do when I go over my day, so people say that he's second. You might be serving him with 90% of your heart. God says, all of your heart, all of your heart, he wants, not 30%, my brother and sister. So he says, share your food with the hungry. Notice that if you're fasting, if you're being sincere with God, we support the poor. A lot of people say, Brother Lee, why didn't you support this church, this ministry? You know, let me tell you, it's okay to give your tithes and offering to a church. But here's the problem. The pastor is driving a wonderful car, has different mansions, different homes, and some of the church people are hungry and don't have a place to sleep some. They live in shelter. My brother insisted, churches are using the money wrong. We're supposed to help poor. And that's the foundation of this ministry. When people donate to this ministry, what I do is I donate to the poor, the tithe and offering of this ministry. Not just 10%, another poor giving. It has to be more than 10%. My brother insisted, we need to understand about giving. And you will find out that when you put in your heart, when you set in your heart to give more, you will receive more. You will see more from God. And I have challenged people over the year. A few years ago, I think it was 2014, 2015, I challenged people to let's give more. And people were donating more. I was sending it to Israel, to the poor. I made sure that the organization were given to the Lord have approval of them. I check with the Lord. Things that a lot of people don't do. A lot of people think, Brother Levy, who should I give to? Listen, all I need to do is ask the Lord, and the Lord will let me know if he approves of some of it. And people have sent me different organizations, donate here in Israel, donate over there. I want to stay with the one that the Lord is pleased with, my brother and sister, because the Lord knows everything. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Lawrence, yes, we'll keep her in prayer. Lord, by your stripe, Sister Lawrence, Lord, it's healed. We send your word over her body, Lord, that by your stripe, by your wound, in Jesus' name, she is healed. We send the word over her body for total recovery, total healing, in Jesus' name, by the stripe of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. Heal her completely, Lord. Bring total healing. Body, soul, and spirit in Jesus' name. Increase her faith in your relationship with you, Lord. Restore, Lord Jesus, her life with you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It's done and so. So it's important, my brother and sister, to have him guide us and lead us. My brother and sister, let the Lord guide us. Let the Lord lead us. Seek for it. As they did, the older did. My brother, who, Lord, do you want me to speak to? How do you want me to go about the situation? Where do you want me to go, Lord? Show me. Show me in the vision and the dream. Where? Show me in the vision who I need to speak with, Lord. Give me a name, Lord. This is how they pray. Where is the place, Lord? What state, Lord? Praise you, Jesus. What state? Where is the place? Show me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Don't worry, Sister Rita. The Lord is working his will in her life. He'll get her healed. Don't worry about it. Let's pray. Pray. Trust the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Show me, Lord. Lead me, Lord. Show me who I need to speak with, Lord. Show me the name of the company. Person that I need to speak to, Lord. Give me a dream. Give me a vision, Lord. Who do I need to see? Hallelujah. And this is how they prayed. This is how the Lord led them, and the Lord gave them victory. They have victory by praying this way, by being guided by the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. What company do you want me to work for, Lord? Hallelujah, Lord. That is pleasing to you. Now, a lot of people don't ask for that. Lord, is the work that I'm doing pleasing to you? The Lord showed me something the other day that I'm going to share this for the first time on the Lord's Hour. That was stunning to me. Someone contacted me about a job this person had that is making a lot of money in this job. The Lord showed me that because of that job the person is having, this job is causing this person to sin. And it's going to end up staying in the Great Tribulation, my brother and sister. If you're going to apply for a job or a company or someone, you need to ask the Lord whether that company is pleasing to the Lord, whether your job is making you sin before the Lord, my brother and sister. Very important. A sister write to me and said, Brother Elby, I am working to getting the COVID-19 vaccine ready for people. Hallelujah. And I remember saying back to the person, you need to ask the Lord for another job. Oh, but this job is really paying me good, Brother Elby. Oh, I'm really making a lot of money in this job. I'm getting the COVID-19 vaccine ready for people back in before, it was in 2019, I think it was, back then. People don't understand that there are certain things you're doing that you should not be doing without asking the Lord to guide you, to lead you. Because you can be sinning seriously with it. Because what you're doing it to harm other people, in example. My brother and sister. And you got to be careful. This is what you pray for the Lord to guide you, to lead you, to reveal to you. Well, you need to leave your job. I was working in a job, and I was asking the Lord to guide me, to leave me, I remember. And I had gotten that job. It was a well-paying job. And the Lord spoke to me and let me know that job was not pleasing to him, that I needed to leave that job, the Lord revealed me. My brother and sister. And I thought it was such a great job, but the Lord says no. And I ended up coming out of that job, my brother and sister. Okay? Because there are things some company are doing are being used even to, let's say, a weapon company to kill people, bullet company, whatever it is. The Lord will say, no, quit that job. Not pleasing to the Lord, my brother and sister. So you need to ask the Lord this question. Why, when I go to work, I'm being attacked at work? Lord, is this company not pleasing to you, Lord? Why do I feel, and it's not just being attacked, why do I feel, Lord, that when I go to work, you're not pleased with my job, Lord? Because the Lord will let you know through your spirit. And then so you ask the Lord, and the Lord show me, Lord, reveal to me. And the Lord, you know, don't ignore the dream of the Lord. Don't ignore vision. Jacob was guided by vision, and Abraham too by dream and vision, my brother and sister. They completely knew it was from God, okay, the Lord. Sometimes when you're looking for a job and you're having a hard time finding a job, it's because the Lord right now, where you are without a job, is where he wants you now, temporarily, not always. And you may say, but Lord, but the Lord said, but my daughter, but Lord, but my son, listen to me, wait on me. You know, so you say, Lord, but Lord, you know, but the Lord said, I need you to stay there, my daughter, the way you are. I am working in your life. I'm working in your heart. I'm setting you free from things that are not pleasing to me right now. Okay? Praise you, Lord. And you're telling the Lord, Lord, but I need money for this. I need money for that. And the Lord says, Lord, but I need you to be set free of this. I need you to be set free of that. See what I'm saying? Because sometimes when you're working, you don't have time to be set free from demons, chains, this and that. Because your mind is caught up and working, doing all this. Then you come home, you got to clean, you got to do this, you got to do that. Your whole day is busy. Some people just only have time to listen to the Lord's Hour when they come home sometimes. After they cook, they clean the house, they put the kids to sleep. All right, they sit down on the computer to listen to the Lord's Hour. That's it. The whole day has been busy. But you got to practice to try, like I was saying to this man, this brother, God cannot be unfaithful. And if you trust God to supply your need according to his riches and glory, and you pray and you fast, you ask the Lord, you really ask the Lord sincerely, the Lord will provide to you. He can provide you a better job. The Lord can retire you on Social Security. And it's not before you that time. Sister was saying on YouTube the other night, the Lord retired me from work. And what do? I spend time prayer. I spend all my day in the work. I pray time. I clean my house. I do all my duty that I need to do. And I spend time in the Word. I spend time worshiping the Lord. I spend time in the Word. She's like, I'm having such a fun with the Lord now that I didn't have time to do because I was always working, she says. And that is so true. A lot of people don't see it. They don't understand. My brother and sister, hallelujah, that spending time with the Lord is better than spending time being busy with these other things of this world that keeps you, your mind busy with the things of this world. My brother and sister, so learn to value your time with the Lord. I want to place this audio for the prophet from Canada. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord, because it's such a blessing.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining me once again on my YouTube and Rumble channels. Today is January the 2nd of 2023. A happy new year to you all. I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas and are anticipating great things in the year ahead. I'd like to bring another word to you from the Lord today that I hope will encourage you and give you great hope of things to come. The Lord has been speaking to us about his heart to reach the lost and to bring in a harvest. And we may look around us and think this could not happen because things in the world today are looking as though there is no hope for the Church of Jesus Christ to have an influence. But the Bible tells us that even though the darkness grows darker, the light of Christ will shine brighter, and that the light of Christ will overcome the darkness. And so this is our hope, and this is our encouragement, that the Lord is undefeated. And though there may be forces that work against us as his church, we are overcomers in Christ. This message today will encourage you that the Lord has a plan to reach the nations, and that he is employing all of us and putting us in our places in order to fulfill his end time plan to bring a harvest into his kingdom. This word today is titled A Turning of the Tide. I hope you will be encouraged as you hear it today. I'll begin this word by reading scripture. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This scripture passage highlights the words of Jesus to his disciples to go and make disciples of the nations. And this word applies to us today. The Lord still has that calling upon the lives of those who believe in him. We are all called to the high calling of making disciples of the nations. I'll begin reading this word. A turning of the tide. You will see a turning of the tide, says the Lord. Those who were will be no more. I am moving you on. You will be placed into the work I have for you. You shall go forth unhindered. I am tying up all loose ends. Every piece of the puzzle is being put into place. Every gifting will be employed. Every obstacle will be overcome. Every hurdle will be cleared. I am at work in your midst. You cannot see what I am doing. You can't see how I am moving every part of the body of Christ into its rightful place. I have a work prepared for you. I have the place open and ready to receive you. You will be put into place. You will be picked up, transported, and put down into place. All doors are open, and you are being released to go forth, says the Lord. Do not fear the attempts of men to sidetrack you, to counsel you. Open your heart to your heavenly Father, and he will give you his desires, and you shall be carried by the power of his love into the places ordained for you. You will be swept up on the wing and carried above the turmoil and put into position in the army of God to go into the world to make disciples. You are being released into evangelism. You shall fish for the souls of men and bring in a great catch. I am knotting the net, and soon the catch will come in. Every ministry will be in place to house it. You will see this ministry come into place right before your eyes. I have shown you bits and pieces, but I am about to release unto you a full vision for the work I have ordained. I am opening the doors, unlocking the gates, and you will walk in to take the land, says the Lord. My army is being sent out in this day to put the enemy underfoot and take ground. Laborers are being sent out into the harvest fields. I will equip my servants with every good gift, every ministry gift, and the work of bringing in the harvest shall go forth. You are on the brink of entering into the fields, into the highways and byways, into places of darkness to retrieve the lost. Do not lose sight of what I have shown you and spoken to you. You are being established in the calling upon your life, and you are being moved into position. You are at the starting gate and about ready to be let loose. Enter in through the narrow way. Many beckon you on the wide road, but trust your heart and follow the way less traveled. Those who choose this way will enter into fullness of the Spirit and shall function in full capacity in the giftings the Father has released unto them. I am taking you in, I am taking you by the hand, and leading you into the fullness of my Spirit, says the Lord. I am ordering your footsteps aright, orchestrating your steps, and taking you in the way you must go. No one and nothing will be able to hold you back. Those around you who see you as defeated will be amazed when they see that you are being propelled ahead into a work ordained of the Father. Those who feel they have put an end to the calling and giftings in your life will be in awe when they see the high calling I have taken you into. For you shall be instrumental to bringing multitudes into the kingdom of God. You shall reap abundantly, says the Lord. In this word today, the Lord is telling us that we are an army, that we are taking the land, that he is sending us in to rescue the perishing, to bring the salvation message to those who haven't heard, and to bring opportunity for them to come into the kingdom of God. Though there has been opposition to the Church of Jesus Christ, and though we may feel that we have been defeated and that there is no opportunity for us to have influence in this dark world, but the Lord is telling us that he is equipping us with ministry giftings, with talents, and that he is positioning us in that place where we will be effective to reach the people. We may not be seeing what the Lord is doing, but he is at work positioning his church, his body, placing us exactly where we as individuals need to be, clearing the way, removing obstacles, removing the hurdles, and causing us to go forth to do the work of this ministry. Are we all called to this work? The answer to that is yes, because the Lord has called us as his people to a higher calling, because we are part of the bigger picture of the whole puzzle, that as each individual piece takes its place, the whole puzzle comes together. If we have been discouraged by the last season, by 2022, we can be encouraged that 2023 will be a year of great change, of the turning of the tide, of entering the harvest fields, ready to take in the harvest. I hope each one of us will be encouraged to know that the Lord is the Lord of the harvest, that he has called us to be his harvesters in the fields, in the highways and byways, wherever that would be, in our jobs, in our circumstances, in our communities, wherever he would place us, that we are his army that is going forth in this day to take the land. May the Lord strengthen each one of us in our inner man to stand firm in his counsel and to be willing to go where he would send us, to be placed where he would place us, and to be faithful to the call he has upon our lives in this day. I hope this word today will encourage you, and I pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you in this new season we are entering into. Be blessed. Thank you for listening today, and we'll talk to you again the next time. Have a great afternoon.
Happy New Year, brothers and sisters in Christ. I hope you are going very well. It is so blessed for us to come into 2023, and when you add the numbers, it adds to 7. 2 + 2 + 3 = 7. So how amazing is that? We're in the year of where it adds to 7, which always leads to completion. So I'm very excited about everything the Lord is going to be doing this year. Now, the Lord gave me a prophetic act to pretty much do by having me clean my windows and then just removing a few little cobwebs that started to form outside of my house. And then he started to speak to me about what he's doing in his people as we have crossed over into this new year. And then he gave me a prophetic word that I will type out and I will put on the blog page for you to go and have a read through in your own time. So remember, take everything you hear always to the Lord and ask him for confirmation. Believe in no man or woman and only in the one true God. And if you ever have any questions about prophetic words, always take it to him and ask him. We are just the messengers delivering his word. So if you have any reservations about it, take it to the Lord and let him lead and guide you in all truth and understanding. So my beautiful God, Lord, we just thank you so much for how you carried us through last year. We thank you, my Lord, with all the hardships and the challenges and the very burning fire that we had last year, Lord, that you still purified us and fortified us and help us to come more forth as gold. So, Lord, we honor you in this new year. We pray your blessing upon this new year. I pray blessing upon each and every brother and sister, Lord, watching this video. And I pray, Lord, that you would just encounter them in such a powerful way this year that they can know and see that you're with them and carrying them through. In Jesus' most holy and powerful name, amen. Okay, so the Lord had me clean my windows. And my windows have just been getting a little bit of dirt on them because we had quite a bit of rains last year. And as I was cleaning the outside windows, the Lord started speaking to me that he was going to clean the little bits of leftover in people's lives. You see, because the house was clean inside and spring cleaned inside, and then there's just these little small little pieces that doesn't seem to really cause much of a problem. You don't really see the dirt as much on windows or a little bit of dust in the gutters, and so it gets easily overlooked. But the Lord said that he was now cleaning house even in more in depth because he now took time to clean a lot of people on the inside during last year and the years before by doing that purification process in them through the trials and challenges that they faced. And now the Lord has cleaned the inside of the cup, but now he's getting rid of those little residual parts that are still holding some people back. And as I was basically cleaning off some cobwebs that recently formed just on some of the outside doors and things like that, the Lord started speaking to me with regards to his people who have been faithful and obedient to him to allow his refining process. And he said this. He said that he now cleaned the inside of the cup, but now he's going to clean the outside of the cup, meaning he's already made them very attractive on the inside, carrying the Lord and his glory because of their obedience and willingness and faithfulness and surrender to him. And now they've not really had the outside appearance that have been attractive to people, because through the refinement process and the harsh trials, they might not have looked like much to the outside world. They might have been very struggling with finances. They might have really struggling with jobs or just a lot of things against them, and people would have looked at them and go, wow, you're following the Lord, but man, your life is miserable. I don't want your life. But the Lord is now going to start shifting that because he's cleaned the inside of the cup, and now he's going to adorn the outside of the cup so that the outward appearance becomes even more glorious to attract more people in, that they can see that those ones that have yielded will be more attractive because of their willingness and surrender to the Lord. And that is going to help bring more people in to the Lord, because they would want to stop and say, whoa, I know how your life was, but now I see all this blessing upon you and how the Lord has taken you from being stripped and just a miserable existence to now being, being blessed and prosperous with him in the living. And that is going to attract those in the world who don't really understand the inside of the cup first. And so take heart, brothers and sisters, for those of you who know that you have been going through a very, very trying, refining process with the Lord to get the inside of your cup clean. He has seen it. He has known it. And now he's coming to create the outside appearance of you to make that more beautiful, to attract more people in so they will want to know the Lord Jesus Christ because of the willingness that you went through. And so then the Lord gave me this word to read to you. And so the Lord said, this will be a year of drastic changes, good and bad. Good for those who follow me and bad for those who keep opposing me. I am moving quickly to set things right for those who have remained committed and faithful to me. I am bringing my justice like a hammer to break into pieces what needs to be broken and to hammer in the nails in the structures that need to be built up. I am doing both, the tearing down and the building up, and I will continue to refine and purify my bride, so remain yielded. Great injustices will come to light this year. Those who thought they would get away with their dark deeds behind closed doors will continue to be exposed and revealed for all to see. I will bring their shame down on their own heads. Am I not a just God? Do I let sin go unpunished forever? I have heard the cries of the innocent and just. Who to those who have enslaved, oppressed and stolen much? See my mighty arm and my mighty acts of justice unfold in front of your eyes this year. My people will know their God fights for them, that they have not placed their faith in me in vain. Just like I have a time for my justice, so I have a time for my blessings and breakthrough. I am clearing the way for my people. Those who have accepted my call, boulders will start to be removed from their pathway, and angelic assistance will accompany these ones who are willing to labor in my harvest field. Time is precious. Build, my precious ones, build. Build without fear of calamity. Do I not hold all things in the palms of my hands? Seek me diligently in days to come. You will receive more in-depth instructions and strategies as you yield to me. Do not concern yourself with anything. I am your bread of life. Eat of me and you will live. My flesh and blood was given so you can have life in me. Life in me and not in yourselves. Are you not my temples I choose to reside in? Open your hearts wide this year and drink the cups I give you with gladdened hearts, for your King is near. I am coming soon, Yeshua. So my beautiful God, Lord, we thank you so much for your words. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will let this word reach whoever needs to hear it. And I pray, my Lord, that you will help us to continue to yield to you this year. Help us to drink the cups you give us with gladdened hearts, Lord, and help us, my King, to keep you as the main focus as we continue out through this year. In Jesus' most holy and powerful name, amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, have a wonderful day. God bless you.
Hi, this is Vicki Goff with Parnell, and I have come to share a word that the Lord gave me at 3:11 today. It is now 7:16. I have been praying and seeking whether to release this word or not. It is called Word of Smokescreens, but he has told me to share it, and I'm going to share it. And for me, if I reach one person for Jesus, if this ministry reaches one person for Jesus, the My Lovely Jesus ministry, then everything we've gone through is worth it. Because every soul is precious in the eyes of the Lord. He would have died for just one soul, I do believe. That's how much he loves us. But before we start, I want to pray, and I'm asking that you pray also. And I am asking that you ask the Holy Spirit to show you the truth of these things. I'm not asking you to listen to other people. I'm asking you to take these things to the Lord. Do you have peace in your heart? Do your spirits bear witness? Do you have the spirit of peace, or do you have the spirit of strife and contention and hatred? There's different things, so those are not fruits of the Spirit. Even Jesus, when he was in the temple and he cast the tables and he was righteously angry, he did not sin in that. He did not sin. He knew no sin, the Bible says. So let's pray together and let's invite the Holy Spirit to lead us and for Jesus, his truth to come out, because John 14:6 tells us Jesus is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. All right. Father God, we come to you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. There is no other name wherein we can approach the throne of mercy and grace. There is no other name wherein we can be saved. There is no other name where demons tremble at the power of the name of Jesus. There is no other name, no other person, no other blood that can save, redeem, protect, and heal. There is no other but you, Jesus. Father has given you a name above all names. A name above all names. A name above all names. Philippians 2:9-11. A name above all names. So it's in the name of Jesus. I come before you, Father, and I stand as a daughter, a beloved daughter, because you love all your children equally. There is not one greater than the other in your eyes. And I'm grateful for this, because I am the least of the least, Lord. I am just a servant, and that's what I want to stay, a simple servant that serves all. Now, Father God, our life is a battlefield. Satan never rests. Why should we? So, Father God, each morning when I reaffirm my armor and I pick up my shield of faith and my sword of the Spirit and I put on my helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and I put on that belt of truth, that circle that has no end, and I put on my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and I put on the cloak of zeal, the mind of Christ, the cloak of righteousness, the robe of righteousness that you adorn us with. I'm not sitting on the side. I'm going to advance. I'm going on the offensive because I'm going to, with your help, Lord, take down and destroy as much of the kingdom of Satan as I can before my time here on earth is over. With that being said, in the name of Jesus, every demon spirit, every spirit from the hierarchy of Satan that would raise its nasty little head against me and this ministry and all I love and all the people that have joined this ministry, all the people, my lovely Jesus ministry and Burning Bride ministry and Facebook, all the beautiful people that I've met through YouTube, through all of them, Lord, cover them under your blood. Father God, your bride is weary and ready to go home. But until that time, Father, encourage us. We need to encourage ourselves in you, but Lord, you are our strength. Stir our joy. Stir our joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, Lord. Create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Psalm 51. If David can pray it, we can pray it. You're no respected person. Romans 2:11. And I stand on your word, Lord. And even though they may change your word, they cannot change the power within, because the power within is you, Jesus, you and you alone, you and Father God and the Holy Spirit, and it cannot be changed in that form. So in the name of Jesus, according to your word in Matthew 18:18, and many other scriptures, I bind every spirit of the hierarchy of Satan that would come against us and that would raise their nasty little heads, try to shoot their little arrows and their darts and get their claws and their teeth into us. I raise my shield of faith, and I quench those fiery darts, those fiery darts, in the name of Jesus. And I plead that blood of Jesus against you, and I pray for a blood shield of protection, like the blood in the body protects the body. So does your blood, Jesus. It does more than just cleanse. It does more than just heal and deliver. It's all powerful because it's you, Jesus. It's you. So I bind you with everlasting chains, according to Jude 1:6. And in the name of Jesus, I take my pike, and I pike you from beneath, and I pike you in the stomach. In the name of Jesus, because you've come to kill, steal, and destroy, I'm putting you out of commission where you can't come back to me, and you can't come back to anybody else. If anything comes back, it's another lackey. It's another. It's not you, because you're going to be bound and stay put till your day of judgment. Do you hear me, entities? In the name of Jesus, I speak and I command your mouth be broken, your jaws be broken, your teeth be broken. And in the name of Jesus, I take the sword of the Spirit in my hand, the word of God, and I command those heads to be chopped off. And I tread upon them, because the Bible says we shall tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I stand on your word, Jesus. It cannot fail. And now I take and I cast you, excuse me, upon every place Antichrist will ever lay his head. And in the name of Jesus, I command you to stay there till the day of judgment. Bound. You're out of commission. Bound in Jesus' name. And let it be a reminder. There are children of the Most High God. And that's a capital M. Most High God. That are not afraid to stand up. Rebuke this in the name of Jesus. I take authority over this trying to come upon me. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus, because 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes you were healed. And then Isaiah 53:5 says, by his stripes you are healed. It's a done deal. Price paid. Price paid in full. Now, Father, I ask that you send this word out, Lord.